What's poppin'? It's the Drew and Mike Show, starting a new week with Mark and Brandon, and Layla's in the basement too.
Aw.
Yeah. She's getting along.
Has she been good?
She seems a little bit off. And you know, it's funny, I didn't realize it. I did, but I didn't think about it, was that she went out when Mags went out. So now it's like she doesn't want to go outside.
Oh, really? So yeah. Mags is the leader?
I think he was kind of a sheriff in outdoor world. And then if he was coming in, I remember a few occasions where she was wanted to go out because he got a treat when he came in.
Yeah.
And so she would go running for the door, and he would go outside, too. So it seemed like he always wanted to be outside when she was outside.
Well, now you have to start going outside.
Actually,
start taking dumps in your own lawn.
She's following me everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did she get another care package?
She did.
Wow.
Lori Matoshko.
Oh.
Yeah, really sweet. You know, if you... I don't know why this crossed my mind today. I think I was watching a lot of the Antonio Brown stuff, which is really disturbing as a human being, just what a jerk this guy is. And the Jeffrey Epstein MIT lab story. And I mean, honestly, if you really pay attention to the clickbait that's out there and in the real news, too, you start feeling like, God, there's just so many shitbag people out there.
That's why it's news.
But it just seems shitbaggier and shitbaggier all the time. But honestly, with Mags dying and my mom dying before that, so many nice people that, you know, send along their heartfelt thoughts. And I mean, most people really are nice, whether they're on the left or they're on the right. The great, I like to believe this, the great majority really want to help each other and really mean well. Mm-hmm. But
I just want to say, can we all get along? Can we get along?
He's such a nice guy.
There's just a lot of major shitbags who are really loud.
Yep, and they get the attention.
And I'm not going to call this guy a shitbag because I like him. And I've been a fan for a long time, but I was reading Brian McCollum's story about the Kid Rock shows.
That's funny. I asked Brandon if he read it because it just seemed like an odd review of the show.
I thought so, too.
And I like Brian's writing. I guess I feel like I have to say that. But I thought it was a really odd review.
It is an odd review.
Less about what happened on stage and more about the people that showed up.
And the people that he says didn't show up. And, you know.
MAGA, MAGA, MAGA.
It's funny, I tweeted something out because there was so much crap about him coming to town, like Metro Times, you know, get your ass out of here, do your shows, and be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Get out! I tweeted something to the effect that I missed the days when Kid Rock was just a great artist with a lot of attitude, and I liked him, and I still do, and he's a charitable guy who does nice things, and I think he means well, mm-hmm. but ever since he got so connected to Trump and Republicans... It's like he's this incredible lightning rod.
I think it's how he did it, too. I mean, pretty in your face about it, which that's the Kid Rock way.
Whatever. He is a guy with a lot of attitude. And I was telling Brandon earlier, it's like, I don't know how these lightning rod people like Kid Rock. I would think after a while they go, oh, my God, this is terrible. But they have something in them that just
he'll be fine.
Likes it or absorbs it or... Well, I mean, seriously, would you like it if people were just coming after you, all these fucking assholes, the racists... I mean, it's distressing. I find it distressing as a fan of his.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he cares.
I wouldn't mind trading places with him. I mean, that's a pretty good life.
No, it is a good life. I agree.
But, he does a lot of good things.
I just think that
some people
there's a lot of hate.
Some people feed off that.
Some people do. I agree. And people on the left do, too. And I don't understand it because I mean, believe me, I've had my share of complaints, as you've heard on the Boner line. 209-66 Boner. But anybody says they like it, I think, and maybe some people do like it. I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I like constructive criticism. I can take it. My skin's gotten thicker. But anyway, yeah, he suggests that...
I think it's different, though. I don't know if you're really going out there purposely. Not that Kid is either, but sometimes, maybe you know what? Maybe sometimes he's purposely trying to piss off and...
Well, yeah, he's
own the libs or whatever that is.
I think he's produced some clickbait. You know, the whole thing about Taylor Swift I thought was out of nowhere. I didn't even like it.
And now, the Brian, Senate marketing ploy thing was a little odd.
Yeah, that was just fun, I thought.
I mean, yeah, I think but a lot of people took him serious at first.
Well, that's their fault.
Yeah. I don't know. I just found it annoying. I don't know what the point was. I really don't.
Except that's
where he's going. And, you know, that's what he wants to do. It's fine with me. I didn't really get a kick out of it, to be honest.
But yeah, this article.
Probably because it moved into that territory where he's, you know, Rogan's going to take over and I'm going to win. I like his music and I like his attitude. I like him. I like it. And I'm not trying to say stay in your lane either, but I don't like it when people, I like, Jimmy Kimmel's a great example. Mm-hmm. I love Jimmy Kimmel's show. I don't like that all these people hate Jimmy Kimmel because he's a snowflake and he, and also,
he's crying all the time.
Sometimes I don't like it, you know, when he played Ted Cruz in basketball, I thought he acted like an asshole.
Yeah.
I really did. And it bothered me. It was like, I don't want to see that side of him. I like that guy. Anyway, Brian claims that...
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
missing at the show were the white-collar weekend warriors, soccer moms, and other casuals who made up a sizable chunk of crowds at previous hometown Kid Rock dates.
I mean, I wasn't at the show, but how does he know that?
I don't know. I thought it was
that empty?
No, it was full. He says it was sold out, but then he says it sold out slowly, and there were a lot of discount tickets available on StubHub.
Like every other show?
He did four sold-out shows, didn't he? Or is he doing four sold-out shows?
I believe
there are four sold out shows. If you have to sell some tickets cheaply on StubHub, I'm not sure if this is really cause, just correlation, an artist who's maybe in a different zone of their career. Four sold out shows at DT, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a
new album either, does he?
No, I don't believe he does.
Brian does point out fairly that this show is, you know, four times as more expensive as they were. When he did the 10 straight sold out in 2005 and 7 and 20.
Oh, yeah, $20 tickets were a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
He also implies that the show had moments that seemed strategically designed to play up inclusion. Huh. Like the resurrection of everyday people by Sly and the Family Stone. Really? Did Kid Rock tell him this?
I don't know. Inclusion?
I see. I don't want him to be either one. I just want him to be Kid Rock when he's on stage. Not that I want
to
bring him.
Don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
But that's funny. If you were watching him cover Everyday People, would you go, this is a cover designed to play up inclusion? I would go, I like this song. This will be fun to see. Or it's going to be bad. Yeah. I mean, either way, you're excited.
I think I might have seen him do it when he had the Confederate flag 10 years ago. I don't know. I thought he played it before.
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
One thing really made me laugh. There were new elements, including an opening video that portrayed a spacecraft hurtling to Earth, only to reveal Kid Rock inside with a NASA suit and an Evel Knievel helmet.
And to think that this dude used to buff Pamela Anderson.
The landing capsule turned out to be an RV emblazoned with United States of America without an A. And the few panned out to display the state of Michigan morphed into a giant middle finger.
Un-American.
USA.
Oh, yeah. There were chants that broke out in USA.
Oh. So, oh, were there?
That's what he wrote. I mean, I don't know.
I love USA. Do you love USA?
Born Free performed below a splay of red, white, and blue lights, prompted USA chants from the lawn to end the regular set. So, whatever. Cool.
Red, white, and blue.
See, that's something.
This is what's stupid. I guarantee you, everybody that went had a blast and had a lot
I'm
of
sure
fun.
Sure, they did. No, they did.
Nobody
that's
sat
fine.
There and went, "God damn Trump! God damn inclusion!"
I guess I don't expect people to chant USA.
No, but who
unless
cares?
unless it's a Lee Greenwood show, you know, and then I'm probably thinking it's kind of silly. But Kid Rock,
come on.
I don't know. You know,
Kid, most chants silly.
Yeah, pretty much.
USA.
Kid Rock fans are hardcore. They love Kid Rock. I'm just more of a casual fan, and I like him. I thought he's been really. He's a pretty good guy, really.
If you don't love it, leave it. USA number one.
Amen.
Work for all my life.
That says America.
Right. These cutters don't run.
I also wanted to open the show with.
If you don't like America, then you can get it.
First, I'll do a real plug to Grow Green. They sponsor Facebook Live all week long, the store where commercial growers choose to shop. They're not two stoners in a hydro store like the other guys, but rather a staff of over 40 experts ready to help you succeed.
I went on their website. I was overwhelmed by how much stuff there was.
I know. It's funny how complicated pots become.
I just want someone to help me grow my tomatoes. I
just want a few flower tops, man.
They have so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff.
Yeah. And some people are really getting into this. And people always were into this. I remember friends that did this, and they were very serious about it. And you have to be. Whether you're just starting out growing at home or you have a Class A facility, these guys can help with insane deals like bags of Ocean Forest for $10.
Hortolux. Gotta have your Ocean Forest.
How about Hortolux?
Yes, definitely.
1,000-watt bulbs.
Chlorophyll. More like chlorophyll.
1,000-watt bulbs for $55 and the lowest prices in the state on all beneficial insects you need to keep your garden pest-free. It's intense. The world's largest hydro store on M36 in Whitmore Lake are online at growgreenmi.com.
Brando's got what Vince craves.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Brando.
The plugs, okay, here goes. It's not a plug. It's like a real plug.
Okay, Tom.
First of all, the show merch available at drewandmikestore.com.
Yes.
And then I have to mention No BS News. They had Bob Beekman on. This is a long No BS News, but it was really good. It's about the Kilpatrick case, and he was this FBI special agent in charge.
Hey, Bob. Penis looks great today.
Bob really dug in. And, you know, I'm going to ask Charlie about it because I think he had the same reaction I did, where, you know, the last few years when you hear something enough, you just start to think it at least a little bit. You know, this 28 years is too long.
Oh, you mean the Mike Clark?
Yeah, say it enough and it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think after listening to all that, I really felt like, no, 28 years is not too much. This was just incredible. And I don't know how Bernard Kilpatrick got a year.
Well, he could have got a lot more.
Oh, my God. He should have.
The prosecutor said this. Bellotta said the same thing. That 28 years, there should have been more.
You know, Bernard Kilpatrick just going to people and, yeah, you're going to pay me $10,000 a month to keep that dumpster business. What? Yeah, you're going to lose the city contract unless you give me $10,000 a month. So then the dumpster business, they just charge the city an extra $10,000 and it's no big deal.
Has he gone to the Holocaust Museum yet?
That's an excellent question.
No one has held his feet to the fire. He claimed he was going to go.
I know.
God, I'm surprised he didn't use it for like a photo op.
I don't think he wants to go.
Yeah, you're right.
I really don't. I think he's that kind of stubborn.
Yeah.
Let's see. God, where to start? I just want to mention a couple things because it was just...
When Charlie was here on Thursday because he had these clips that he wanted to play for the show.
Oh, for Facebook Live. Oh, yeah.
The wiretaps.
Right.
So I was loading them in the system and listening to them with them. And it just hit me during the whole thing is, what a bunch of inept buffoons. Like,
how did they ever think somebody wasn't going to find out about this?
If anything, I was amazed that they got away with as much as they got away with.
How did it go on so long? And you know, he talks about,
no,
we started investigating in 2004 when he got a call from somebody at Cobo Hall about a shakedown there. And that led to some wiretaps. It took till 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 years to bring this thing in. And I see it all the time with true crime murder cases where, you know, it's like the cold case team comes in 20 years later and they start looking at it going, holy shit, he did it. He absolutely
did it.
Did you hear the audio between Kwame and his dad?
Yes, that was a great piece of audio. Kwame's on.
Should we
There's
play
so many
it?
Things I love about it.
Do you want to play it or do you want to save it for Charlie's show? Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I don't want to steal it from Charlie.
it's worth listening to because they're trying to talk in code, but
and they're
neither,
not even good
neither
at
of
it.
Them know what the code is.
No.
And so Kwame's basically saying, you got to talk to blah, blah, blah.
Who?
White guy. And Bernard, you just hear the wheels turning as he's like,
Ha ha, your game is way on, baby.
Oh, you mean Chicago? And then Kwame's like, yeah, him too, but white guy. It's like, what?
Well, nobody talks like that.
No.
Nobody talks like that unless you're up to no good. And the other thing about it is Kwame's on a private jet that he finagled out of some contractor, you know, who put him on. That just makes me sick. You know, when I heard this, like, oh, his fucking private jet rides all over the place. What an arrogant son of a bitch, honestly.
Make it happen.
I know, and you know everybody was just basically thinking,
what's he doing up there?
You know, was really, and there's 2 hours of this. I'm not stealing anything. I'm just enticing you to listen to No BS News with Charlie LaDuff. He's talking about Kwame's checking account and how before 2002, you know, it zigzags, like deposit,
yeah,
you know, withdrawal, 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 withdrawal. You know, the graph goes up, down, yeah, up, down, up, down.
Gets refilled. Then, it's like a pitcher of iced tea in the fridge.
Kinda.
Pour it up, gotta refill it.
And then all of a sudden in 2002, it just goes up. It never comes down. And there's two things going on there.
I wanted all kinds of, like, checks and credit cards and stuff.
It's like, why is this guy always depositing cash?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Never more than 10,000, which, you know, is the limit when you trigger, you know, a little notation.
In that regard, that's pretty brilliant.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He knew the law. He knew, you know, that's probably what
it
took.
I thought it was always a good time to get fucking rich.
Well, I know that. I don't think it's that brilliant.
Oh, I know. Well,
but the not-so-brilliant part is that there's never any withdrawals because he's sending members of his executive team with stacks of cash to pay his credit card off at the bank.
What?
Yes. I know, it's so crazy.
Wow.
It's just so crazy. And he takes in his bank account.
How did he explain that?
I don't know. I don't recall, really. I think it came up, but the part that he just couldn't explain was why his bank account had $840,000 that he just couldn't explain. Even if he had all of his salaries, every cent that was accounted for in his bank, there was still $840,000 too much.
Yep.
And
where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
He told another funny story, and this was about, I can't remember who it is, so I won't say, but Bob Beekman did, about a guy who kept writing checks for $9,500 to this other guy. Mm-hmm. And he says, boy, I spent a lot of money lately. And he says, well, yeah, my mom found my whole baseball card collection in the attic. And he says, oh, really?
Wait, what's, wait, what year is this?
It's 2001 or 2003, maybe.
So it's not 1992 when baseball cards had value.
And he said, well, what's the most expensive card? Well, I get $50 for some car.
$50?
You're writing a check for $9,500 every day for like 2 weeks?
You get a lot of them.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's just really, really amazing. And
how much of has he paid any of the restitution back yet?
I'm sure he's just doing great on that. Cool. I know, I do. I always wonder.
Money back, butthole.
Remember that? Now, they didn't get into this during the conversation that I heard, but didn't we pay for his attorneys?
Well, Jim Thomas, yeah, he was a public attorney.
And he was given other attorneys, too, to do special things.
Yeah,
but
we paid
so where'd all Kwame's money go?
It's buried somewhere. That's the belief. I remember asking ML about that, who's still on pause, by the way. I remember asking him about that, like where the money is.
Is he Soft Magazine?
Gone. Don't worry about it.
Gone. The We Want ML Soft Magazine clip.
Is that
with you and ML marching in leather?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Looked pretty good.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, he's done some good memes. He also had the
Is that really you guys? Or
yeah, no, we did that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I worked out for a while.
Right.
But I asked him if that was a conspiracy theory. He goes, no. The people believe that money is out there. It's just a matter of finding exactly who has it and where it is and where they're holding it for them.
Everything I read about Bobby Ferguson, too, first of all, when you read about him and how he beat the living bejesus out of this guy, guy's still disabled, and I think he go to jail for a year, maybe?
I was that long?
I don't know. A year and a half. Anyway, guy's got brain damage. He walks with a cane because he thought he was hitting on his wife.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
He wasn't hitting on his wife. But after that is when he becomes this giant contractor in the city of Detroit and this friend of Kwame's. And I always thought, why is he friends with somebody like that? That guy's horrible.
And hey, they weren't from the same neighborhood?
Kwame's married. Kwame married
Daniel,
his.
Yeah.
Did they marry sisters? Or there's a connection. There is a connection.
Daniel Ferguson is his cousin.
Kwame's
Pretty
cousin.
Soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
He's Bobby's cousin. He married.
Oh, Ayanna Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
Delightful young lady.
I think they're all from the same neighborhood.
Well, that's all good and well. I still wouldn't want to be connected if I was the mayor of a city the size of Detroit. I would not want that guy doing all this business.
Wasn't Bobby Ferguson's dad, didn't he have a really successful construction company for a long time. So his dad probably knew Bernard.
Well, I think Bobby Ferguson could do certain things. I don't think he was the world's worst contractor. He was just a criminal, just a huge criminal. And he had no problem. He's a thug, too. He didn't mind going into people and saying, you're going to give me 25% of that contract. And this one guy says, oh, I'm sorry, sir. We already have all our subcontractors. And he said, I don't think you understand. You're going to give me 25%. The guy said, get the fuck out of here. Fuck you. And the next week, his contract was canceled.
Crazy.
Yeah, we're going another direction. And so.
How obvious.
I know. That's why.
Can you be?
So this guy gathers up quickly, as fast as he can, $25,000 in cash, dumps it on Bobby Ferguson's desk, I guess, and says, hey, I get it. I'm sorry. You know, and Ferguson says, okay, what's going to happen is I'm going to be your consultant.
Catch me outside.
Which is how they did it often.
Yeah.
And in fact, at one point, they were making people go to Bobby Ferguson to get work permits. Yeah, you got to go to Bobby Ferguson first. And
why?
You need a consultant to get a work permit.
What? Since when do the consultants give out work?
Yeah, all these arrangements are just so stupid.
How did anyone get any business done in the city?
I don't know. So,
and I mean, nice adding red tape to a already overblown bureaucracy.
So Bobby Ferguson starts billing this guy for being a consultant, and he misspells consultant. He spells it consulant.
Well, maybe that's what he really was. He was a consulant.
He was a $1.7 million consulant, and the contract cost $16.7 million instead of the $15 million it was supposed to cost. I mean, it's just Victor Mercado, the...
Oh, yeah.
He, I guess he said, well, did Ferguson have the lowest bid? No. Refigure it. No, he's about 20% up. Well, do it again. Mm-hmm. Look at it another way. No, we just can't do it. Okay, well, let's figure out what the average, is he the average bid? Is he in the middle? Yeah, he's pretty close to the average. Okay, we're going to do the average bid method where we give it to the person who has the average bid, not the lowest or the highest, but the average.
And yeah, that's how I pick out people. Like when I got my roof done.
I do that sometimes.
I didn't want the most expensive, but I certainly didn't want the cheapest.
I'm a little worried about the cheapest. You know, have they not properly added something? Or?
Yeah.
I think the bid before my final bid was $350.
Oh, okay. I guess Mel bid to do some work, too.
Yeah, the only problem was that people were bidding with the understanding that the lowest bid would get the business. So,
yeah, you can't change the rules once the bid's in. I guess they can change the rules whenever they want to. What a joke.
And
I'm sure everything runs smoothly now.
Bob Beekman, the FBI special agent that Charlie had on, Bob also mentioned that there were companies who just, after dipping into the Kilpatrick water, said, you know what, we're going to sit this administration out.
Really?
They just literally smart. Didn't come to town. They went to Cleveland or go somewhere else.
That's smart.
So, and the numbers were astonishing, too. I mean,
I want to tell you, Detroit, that you done set me up for a comeback.
Oh, my God, such an asshole. Oh,
how about this line?
I was born and raised in this city, and Lord willing, I'm going to heaven from right here in this city.
So full of shit.
Okay, whatever you say.
And his mother. Oh, my God.
Thank you for showing men what true courage really is.
His mother, remember, referred to him as the chosen one.
Oh, that's right.
The chosen one. And he believed it.
Well, she probably told him that his whole life.
Turn off the radio!
Yeah, it was our fault. Friends and original sponsor Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's exciting as it sounds, because during Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited, as low as $166 a month? Or if you like the Mac Daddy, how about a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as low as $268 a month. Our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. People love Jeeps. Finally, you know we can't get through a Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning, you guessed it, Ram trucks. Go lease a new 19 Ram Crew Can Bighorn Edition. Crew?
It's the smallest one Detroit makes.
Bighorn Edition, as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams. Wow, they ordered an ass ton.
An ass
that's
ton.
Pretty cool. Yeah. That's a real term. That's a numerical term.
It's bigger than a shitload.
It is. Not by as much as you might think. You can choose from their ass ton of Rams. So see details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Then I wonder how
people, damn, that was a lot of ass.
Wonder how people made out on my bookie because
oh, they're doubling paychecks left and right.
Yeah, it's time for football. And my bookie is the right play if you're betting football because you win and they pay. They have live in-game betting on NFL games. So if you're chasing, I mean, nothing better than chasing and coming back, right?
Yeah, that's where it's exciting.
They've got the most rewarding perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. I don't know about this bet, Brandon says it's such a lot.
What are you, an odds maker?
By the way.
You mean Singletary?
Why?
Yeah, the person I never heard of.
How many yards does he have today?
He's already a fifth of the way there.
Ooh.
How many yards did he get?
So far, he's already, like, as far as I've seen, he's already got 70 yards.
Rushing?
Rushing.
He has to get 300?
He has to get 350.
350?
And he wasn't even featured this game. He didn't start because he's a rookie.
How many carries?
I'm telling you, by the end of the season, he's going to be getting 100 yards per game. Lock! Lock! Now,
why did you think he was so good?
Because he had that rookie pedigree, because the only person that was in front of him.
Rookie pedigree.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, was he a first-round pick?
No, but the only person in front of him was LeSean McCoy, and I knew McCoy was going to be a turd sandwich. McCoy ended up getting cut after I already made this bet.
4 carries, 70 yards, so yeah.
Plus, I drafted him on my fantasy team. I'm going to keep him for next year, so I just knew. You're welcome.
What, you were on pick, Mac? Mark?
You're welcome.
What round pick was he?
Yeah.
Third round.
Third round?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
It sounds good so far. I didn't know he had 70 yards. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus, double your first deposit. Use promo code DREW, D-R-E-W, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. And don't forget to use the promo code DREW when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.
That's got to be the best bet anybody ever made.
Thanks,
what's
Trump.
The Monday night game?
There's two.
There's two of them.
Oh, one. That's right.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
So it's Raiders and, oh, balls. Broncos, maybe? Broncos at Raiders. Does that sound right, anyone? And then Houston and New Orleans.
Well, John Gruden said Antonio Brown's going to play Monday night. So yeah,
it's almost right.
Wow. Antonio Brown. Oh, my God.
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of all this. This is another one of the, you know, I guess just going through all my weekend stuff and, you know, oh, what an ass. Oh, what an ass. Oh, what an asshole. And he's one of those people. Actually, he was pretty high on my list this weekend of major assholes. And now, as far as, you know, him being crazy like a fox, he really didn't make money on this deal, did he?
No, he probably will lose about $20 million.
Right. And, you know, I'm watching the pregame coverage because I, you know.
Once the Raiders told him that you're not getting any of the guaranteed money,
right.
I believe, then he was like, well, then there's really no reason for me to be here. And now he's getting $9 million guaranteed from New England. Which is funny. As soon as he got cut, everyone's like, oh, he'll be a Patriot.
Yeah, that was the joke, and it ended up coming true because Belichick and Brady always find a way to make it happen.
Which it turns out that's what he was planning all along.
Do we really know that?
Yahoo had a big article about when he was looking to be traded back in March, he actually met with the Patriots.
And Pittsburgh wouldn't trade him to the
Pittsburgh
Patriots.
Pittsburgh did not want to trade him to the New England Patriots.
Which makes sense.
Because of, obviously, they're going to have to battle them, they believe, in the playoffs. But also because, you remember when they got rid of LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah.
And sent him to New England, and then 2 years later has a huge year and is a Super Bowl champion?
Mm-hmm.
I think they were just still smarting from that. So Pittsburgh just did not want him to end up in New England, which kind of makes this whole thing even more hilarious for the disaster that it is.
If he put all those Raider people through all that bullshit as part of his master plan, I just think he's a prick.
Well, it's probably giving him too much credit, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little much. And, you know, honestly, if I were him and a team gave up a couple draft picks for me, I'd want to perform for them. And I don't think John Gruden's such a bad guy. I'm willing to forgive him and let him play Monday night.
Not to excuse Antonio Brown, but I'm not a Gruden fan.
I'm not a Gruden fan. I don't want to make it sound like that, but I don't believe that the Raiders organization was unreasonable with Antonio Brown. He was he was 100% a prick. And I hate seeing somebody get rewarded for that. I realize he's a great, great player. And it's a fascinating story, too, you know, as far as people like us. Him playing with the Patriots, of course, I'm going to be watching his first game. I'll be watching him all year. It'll be really interesting to see how it all pans out. They one funny note, too, I want to mention. On the pregame show, which one is Strahan on? Is he in the...
Fox.
He's on the Fox pregame show.
Which is weird that he's on Fox's pregame show.
Yeah, it is weird.
For ABC, yeah.
Anyway, JB asks the panel, how many of you raise your hand if you think that he'll make it through the season without any suspensions, any fines, any incidents?
No one.
And Jimmy Johnson and who else was on there?
Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw was Colin Cowherd on that show? No, he's on the ESPN show. I'm sorry. Or Fox show?
No, he's not. He's probably on Fox's show.
Yeah, anyway.
He works for Fox.
Howie Long.
Anyway, nobody raised their hand, and then all of a sudden Strahan pops and goes, you know what? AB loves turmoil. I think it makes him go, so I'm going to raise my hand. It's like, no, you're supposed to raise your hand if you think he's not, if he's going to go through the season without a suspension or an incident.
You just proved your point as to not raise your hand, Strahan. You know, it didn't work out too well for Josh Gordon there, so there's another guy who's his own worst enemy.
And then, you know, even if you think he's a genius and he did all the right things to make it happen for him and for the Patriots, he likes a tweet at 4 o'clock in the morning last night. Some guy that says he wants to see Mike Mayock raped in the ass.
Do you have the whole tweet? Because I was really appalled at the grammar of the tweet.
I don't have it in front of me now.
Right, let me see if I can find it, because it's really, it doesn't even make sense what this guy wrote. I'm going to read it.
This guy also recorded a phone call, a private phone call with John Gruden.
I'll tell you what, man. And then released. I love that phone call, man. Did you hear him say that?
Yeah, what an idiot.
He releases some of the audio of John Gruden on a private phone call.
Here's the tweet he liked. The most stupidest.
Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan-esque.
That's how it begins. The most stupidest human popsicle on the planet. He should never been hired as GM. I hope Antonio Brown win his money in arbitration. Then everyone would know Mike Mayock is true prejudiced asshole. He should be raped in ass, then fire.
True prejudiced asshole. Okay.
Raped in ass.
A true prejudiced
asshole. Then fire
asshole.
What? I feel like there's things missing from this tweet.
Prejudiced. He's prejudiced. He's a racist, right?
I didn't say racist.
Prejudiced.
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, what is he really saying?
Maybe he's prejudiced against ballers.
It seems to me Antonio Brown called him a cracker. So if anybody's using racist language, it's Antonio Brown.
Do we really care what @Easton12 has to say? His opinion of the whole thing?
It's a ridiculous tweet. Of course, it's so totally stupid. Ridiculous. But how could he like that tweet?
Well, because he got advice from social media companies to expedite his Raiders release. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
He got advice from professional social media.
Record a phone call with John Gruden?
That video recorded
Facebook Live in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room.
That video he released, though, was highly produced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Really, really.
I'm aware of his social media, which I'm sure the Patriots are going to love his social media. That doesn't seem like the Patriots' way to me.
No. Well, I don't know. They like Brady's social media where he's making out with his kid.
Well, that's true.
I mean, geez.
You know, I've never hated the Patriots. It's not like I root for them or they're my favorite team, but
they're the best.
I enjoy them as a dynasty.
He's
I think it's a
nuts.
That's why
it's
I like
an them. Endlessly fascinating story, and it's an incredible success story. And then when you see teams like the Lions saying, "Yeah, we're gonna do it that way,"
that's what I love about the Patriots. And this parody of all sports is the NFL, where any team can win, and this team just dominates over and over and over again because they have this great coach and this great quarterback, and nothing else matters, and they don't care about any of the noise.
We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
And the stuff that they've gotten in trouble for, you know, the filming the practices and Deflategate and whatnot.
Deflategate.
I think a lot of that was just them looking for every little edge they can get, and they're just those kind of people. They're looking for tiny little things that can make a difference, and they do make a difference. As George Allen many, many years ago, you know, he emphasized special teams, and the Raiders always had, or the Redskins, and Beamer, too.
Beams.
Certain guys find those little edges to win, and he seems to be going after all of them, and he does have the best quarterback ever. And Antonio Brown should be great for Tom Brady. So it is, but I honestly, if I was ever going to root against the Patriots, I think I have to admit, I think I'm rooting against Antonio Brown. I think he's too big an asshole to root for. Oh, God.
He'll probably have 30 touchdowns this year.
I know.
it's so weird.
He is 30.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were him, I mean, okay, to say if I were him is so ridiculous, but I would have thought that this last deal was very important at his age.
Although,
you don't want to play year to year when you're 30.
No.
And you're wide out in the NFL and you've got 7, 8, 9 great seasons behind you. You know, that's a real risk. Le'Veon Bell took a risk sitting out a season, and maybe it'll pay off for him, but it's, you know, he got the long deal. Like, for Le'Veon Bell to play for 1 year now would be crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know who's going to have a
great... How did Bell do today?
He was doing great.
He did okay.
Right? Okay.
How about this guy?
He had a touchdown. And can I tell you?
Hey, Twitter world, what can I tell
you? Hey, Juice. What can you tell me?
No, what?
Antonio, look like you came out smelling like a rose.
Wait, I'm sorry. He has one back on September 6th.
Just finished.
Let's see.
Yours truly. Just finished playing golf.
Cool.
Some of my buddies.
This is when we played Friday?
Got the good news that Antonio Brown is not going to get suspended. Coach Gruden, that was a good move. Thank you so very much. But then I had a daymare. Can you have a daymare, not a nightmare? What if Antonio got a concussion with this new helmet? Oh, my God. That would be
Someone cut his head off?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, what if some crazy ex-running back stabs him and his waiter?
Hey, Twitter world,
and,
is me, yours truly. Just finished playing.
Show up, Juice. All right, here's a new one.
Hey, Twitter world, what can I tell you?
Twitter world.
Antonio? Look like you came out smelling like a rose. I don't think many people are pulling for you right now. I'm not kicking
I know
off
what
my
that feels like.
Team, I can tell you that.
OJ's not kicking him off his fantasy team. Do people do that?
I'm not going to put up with none of the stuff.
They suspend fantasy players?
Started all of this.
Brandon, have you ever done that?
I've never benched one, no.
I'm just saying, buddy.
I mean, for misbehavior in the real world.
Not for misbehavior, no.
Good luck.
What are you talking about? You can't act like that in New England. Yeah, you can.
Hey, Twitter world.
They just don't care.
Oh, I think they do care. I don't think they're going to let him behave like he's been behaving. Do you? Just not show up and...
I wouldn't think...
Well, the general manager is going to punch him in the face and record Bill Belichick's phone calls and... I don't think that's going to fly.
Well, I don't know. Because you know the whole thing about the MRI last week with Antonio, too? Or no? So he had this great practice, just destroyed their whole defensive backs. It's like... You know what? I think my hamstring hurts. I need an MRA right now. And then they were kind of pissed off about that he wanted an MRI and that they felt like he was trying to pull one over on them. So they were both messing with him more with the team than the team with
him. It's hurting me very badly. I'm in pain all the time.
I think he messed with the team a lot more than they messed with him.
But I think
they wanted him to play when they offered him all that money.
But I don't think he's going to do that in New England.
He doesn't seem to behave for anyone. It'd be interesting if he can do a 180. I'll be very surprised.
He'll behave for Antonio Brown, and if he's doing well there, he'll
maybe
be just fine.
He just cost himself a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the Lombardi Trophy what he really wanted?
I don't think so.
I don't either. This guy's just awful, and not only that. I don't want to be a prude or sound like a soft asshole, but hasn't this pile of behavior, isn't the sort of thing that gets people in some kind of trouble, like a suspension maybe?
Oh, by the league?
I mean, calling the general manager a cracker and saying you're going to punch him in the face and recording your coach's phone call and putting it on social media and liking a tweet saying you want your GM raped in the ass. Isn't that over
and
the
fire.
Line? I mean, that... Does that
raped
fall
in the ass and fire?
Oh, that's right.
I don't know what that means.
Doesn't that seem? I guess that falls within zero Antonio Brown tolerance.
I suppose. Well, he didn't have any drugs in him, Drew, so he's not going to get suspended.
Okay.
So you know that's the worst thing ever.
Oh man. I think maybe
he's going to have a great year.
I don't. Yeah, he probably will. He's in the right. He's in a good place.
They're going to end up playing the Steelers in the playoffs.
Are you ready for some football?
Actually, why would the league suspend him? It's probably one of the more interesting things about the NFL right now is Antonio Brown's storyline.
When he went with his wings flapping into the backyard because the Raiders released him, I was so hoping he would tear an ACL or something. I mean, wouldn't that just have been perfect? I mean, I really hated him at that moment. Not that I'm a fan at all, but what a prick.
Hurt you!
What an absolute prick. Who has the balls to record your coach on the phone, the one who's trying to get you on the field Monday night after all your fuck-ups? I mean, that is just... whatever. It doesn't matter.
The Raiders are...
It's a great story.
They're
it's
a debacle.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Which is kind of fun.
No, it's a great story. I have to admit, I'll be following it closely. I'll probably be more... I mean, I am always interested in the Patriots. Ooh. I'm more interested in the Patriots than ever. Should we call the guy, by the way, who went to the Super Bowl and made such a fuss? Our Patriots friend?
What was his name?
He's our official correspondent for all things Patriots.
Well, that's the thing, because he loved... the Spike King is what he was called. But
Spike King, yeah.
You think Gronk's going to come back now? In the middle of the year?
I don't know. Who knows?
Who would have bet that on the Raiders... that Antonio Brown would have been off that team faster than Richie Incognito.
Wow. What a mess. What a fucking mess, man.
It's great.
Oh, boy.
Ay.
And then, you know, it's not a sports podcast.
Do you want to call Superfan?
Got to put the egg timer on it if we do it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's call Spike King.
The Pats aren't playing right now, so
I want to hear what if he's concerned at all about AB's behavior. I predict he's not.
I have a feeling.
Paul Financial Hotline is open.
He's going to be through the over the moon with it.
Yeah, he may blow up the phone. He'll be so excited. This guy's pretty funny. This guy got the tattoo that said Super Bowl champs before the season last year, and he got a new one this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be pretty high on himself. He's a good guy. He's funny as hell. Really, those pregame Super Bowl shows, he was killing me. Spike King.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Rob Gronkowski.
I predict he knows it's us. I don't know why.
Oh, there's an AB song. Hang on.
Antonio Brown.
Guitar. What's up with this?
Hello, Spike King.
Spike King?
Oh, the Spike King is live right now at Gillette Stadium. We are ready because the Patriots are about to go 19-0 this season.
Spike King!
I told you. Antonio Brown. Everyone says Antonio Brown. We welcome Antonio Brown to New England, baby. Business is definitely booming in New England. It's been too long since we've had a championship up here.
Spike King, I just predicted he's going to answer the phone. He's going to know he's on the Drew and Mike show. He's going to just go off. I knew you'd be exploding down the phone.
I see the Royal Oak, Michigan phone number. I know who it is. I'm ready for Drew and Mike. I'm ready to be your correspondent all season.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Spike King, now, I don't want to temper your excitement. I know it's not possible. But some of the behavior the last few days, a little disconcerting. This guy's kind of a wild card. Is he going to come around to the Patriot way?
Well, 100%, because you got to think about it like this. Antonio Brown is a one-year rental for the New England Patriots. He threw his Tampa tantrum, and he got his way. And you know what? The Patriots offered a second and fourth round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. They said no. They got a third and a fifth. And guess what? AB knew that Tom Brady wanted him in New England. We gave him a $15 million contract with $9 million as a signing bonus. He has no other guarantees on top of that. He shuts up. He plays football. He wins a Super Bowl, and he's going to get overpaid by somebody. This is like Darrell Revis a couple years ago, back in 2014. He had a one-year contract with New England. He took that contract, made his money again with the Jets afterwards.
Wait, Spike King, did you say he shuts up?
He will shut up. He will shut up
really?
Now.
Really? Social media? Will he shut
up?
He won't record Bill Belichick on the phone and put it on social media?
Can we talk about something, guys, out in Detroit?
Yes.
Something that you guys need to talk about.
Sure.
The New England Patriots are about to have the best defense they've ever had in the last 20 years. Matt Patricia. You guys got Matt Patricia out there? You guys can have him out there. Taking the Cardinals. I'm taking the Cardinals today, plus 125, by the way. I don't know why the Lions are favored minus 2.5.
We don't either.
I have no idea why.
We don't either. We don't know.
I thought the Jets were going to win minus 3 today, and I just lost on that bet, you know, $500. But it is what it is.
$500! Spiking.
You saw me on the NFL Thursday Night Football commercial now. The money's coming in. Business is booming in New England.
Oh, no, wow. I did not see that.
Oh, I'm on the... What are you guys living under a rock?
You need to keep us updated on all things Spike King. Come on.
So the Spike King, for those at home, last year got that Super Bowl 53 tattoo. I was the Drew Mike's special exclusive correspondent down in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Won the Super Bowl. You know what happened? NFL contacted me. Hey, we're doing a Thursday Night Football commercial. They flew me out to L.A. in July, filmed a little spot. So this upcoming year, the Giants are facing the Patriots. When it's about October 3rd to October 10th, you're going to see my face all over Fox NFL Network. And guess
what,
guys?
What?
I got the tattoo again. We're going back-to-back this year. Back-to-back with the tattoo.
Oh,
who in history to be able to do it?
That's so cool. Man, I'm rooting for you. I'm loving all this, man. I think you deserve it. But I got to go back to the $500 bet. Are you typically betting a lot of money on every game?
Well, no, it's week one. You get kind of excited. You see what happens in the NFL.
Nothing.
No matter what, you bet the house on the Patriots -6 tonight, you're going to win it all back. So it doesn't even matter.
I'm doing it.
Okay, hey, I'm throwing some money down on my bookie.
I'm doing it.
Couple sources tonight that tell me in the inside. Rob Gronkowski going to tell Gillette Stadium and tell the world that he's coming back today for the 2019 season.
What are you? No, you're not BSing me.
Not BSing you at all. He's
really?
Definitely going to be coming back this season. Yes, he's not going to announce a date. He has until week 13 to come off the retirement/reserve list. That's December 1st. He's going to announce that he's going to be coming back at some point this season. He comes back maybe week 13. But remember, CBD is still a banned substance in the NFL. He can take a 4-game suspension and no one will bat an eye at it because they'll say he's retired and he's doing CBD. No one's going to bat an eye at that. But Rob Gronkowski will be back at some point this season for New England Patriots. And I think he's going to make the announcement tonight because I heard in the pregame there's going to be a little speech coming from him and hyping up the crowd, so we'll see what happens.
Spike King, you're so full of data. I really appreciate it. We're going to let you go, but we will stay on this story. You will continue to be. We must have to make him our NFL correspondent.
Hey, yeah, our gambling
I'm going
correspondent.
Down. Yeah, every week I'll take that call. I see that 200 number. I know I see it in Michigan. I'll take that call. I'm going down to Miami next week. Business is booming in Miami. Antonio Brown first game. Oh, the Patriots can't win in Miami. Guess what? The Patriots are about to win 2 games in Miami this year. Week 2, and then on February 2nd, 2020, when I'm calling you down there, Super Bowl 54 in Miami.
Let's do it.
Wow, that's exciting, man.
Let's go, baby. LFG.
Have you started your podcast yet?
LFG.
Oh, we have. It's called Boston Big 3, but Ride the Wave Media. And you know what, guys? I'm going to come in studio at some point. I'm going to fly my ass up there to Detroit. I'm going to come in studio at some point. Yeah, we're going to have a whole time. We'll get it done. We're going to get it done.
Okay, how's the podcast doing?
We get about, 12 views a podcast. I do YouTube and everything like that. No, it's a good experience, man. You know me, I like to talk and everything like that. I like to explore new opportunities. I try different things. No matter what, I'm trisexual. I try anything. So we're ready to go at any time.
I guess my real question was, have you monetized your incredible fandom in any way?
Oh, 100%. You know, let me take a little time to talk about my sponsorship at 1-in-100. 1-in-100 is the only ticket raffle agency right now currently in Boston and Toronto market that has a chance for the person like you, the fan, to only spend $5 to $10 to get yourself inside the stadium. Now, for the Detroit Lions fans out there, I mean, they just give away tickets and you still don't want them. When it comes to New England, it costs $500 just to get in tonight. We have two people that spent $20 and $10, and they're sitting in the 100 tonight just because they spent that money. It's a raffle ticket, and they'll be partnering up with TickPick this year, too. So 1-in-100 saw the Spike King, and they said, hey, we see money, baby. Let's run with him. So
Spike King, you rock.
Ready to go.
You rock, man. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, luck for losers. And look what happened with Andrew Luck, retired from the cold.
See you, Spike King. Thank you.
LFC, let's go, baby.
Adios.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Oh, man.
That's great.
He is on fire. No concern. Yeah, it's funny. The Patriots, it seems like they do. They assume when a Josh Gordon or an Antonio Brown or one of these troubled guys comes
Randy
in,
Moss,
they're just gonna roll with it. This is our way. Everybody knows if you want to win, and it's worked.
I think
more often than not.
Yeah, you got to buy in immediately and do it that way when you're there. I suppose
they have the record too.
Yeah.
I think expect that out of people. Josh Gordon, you know,
it didn't work out.
He is on the roster, though, right? He's still with them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be a hell of an attack there between Gordon, Edelman, Antonio Brown, and Demaryius Thomas. So.
But it seems like it's always the pot, isn't it? It's always the...
Yeah, the marijuana is what he's struggling with.
It's not like he's a horrible person. I mean, he's got problems, obviously.
He openly admits he's got mental problems.
And they felt like it was mental problems because he just could not stop smoking the pot. He could not. That's why we heard, what's his name, Stephen A. Smith with his famous...
Do we have that one?
I think so.
Stay off the weed.
Duh.
The weed. Duh. Oh, boy. Ugh. Wow. Well, interesting weekend. And, of course, in Ann Arbor yesterday, the Mighty Wolverines are 2-0.
What a lot of fun.
After big victory over
bye week. All right.
Fans were excited to see the Wolverines. Thrill a moment.
Just what an exciting brand of football by both teams. Thrill a moment. Who doesn't like to see 3-yard runs?
I have to say, they were really fortunate to win that game.
You think?
Yeah. They were really fortunate. How long was the field goal Army missed at the end?
50 yards.
Yeah. That was a long field goal.
His first ever field goal.
His first ever?
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny because I was wondering why they went for it on fourth down a couple times before that, and I thought they'd kick.
Well, they were running out of clock at that time. I mean, there's no time left.
But fourth and two early in the game, didn't they go for it?
Yeah. They typically do go for it, Army.
Matt was all over that one. He's like, take Army in the points. And he made a nice bet on that game. But the thing that was unnerving, I guess, and it's not a sports podcast, of course, but where was the mighty Michigan offense?
Where's the run pass option?
Air it out. And, you know, they ran 15 times in a row.
Drew, I know. The run pass.
Where is it?
So they run that run pass option where you're supposed to read the end. And if they're crashing on Charbonnet, then Shea keeps it. He never kept it. I can't think of one time that he kept it. So I don't. You know, the word is that he's got an oblique injury, which is just that's when they say he's got a sore oblique, and that's cover all for he's injured because they don't want to say exactly what. I think it was oblique.
Do they have more fumbles already this year than they had last year?
Two more fumbles than they had last year.
That's it's incredible.
So
honestly,
a lot of that is luck for the most part.
They never fumbled last year. They made so few mistakes last year. It was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of that's just gonna happen, but it's too many obviously for them. And
I wonder if he's injured or I didn't understand the play calling, which whatever.
I think I
laughed out loud. There's about 10 minutes left. Michigan went for it on fourth and two, and it was just a total cluster as to what play they're going to run and what's going on. So
Jim Harbaugh.
You're sitting there going, okay, you're going to call a timeout and figure out you have the right play. No, let's not do a timeout. They got tackled like 4 yards behind the line. I just started laughing because it's just that kind of day, but. You know, to play that shitty and be 2-0 and go into a bye week to figure things out, I guess I'll take it.
Well, you have no choice.
Could be worse.
You have no choice. What about the defense, though? What's that?
I didn't think defense was that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad, but.
I mean, granted, there's no fear of ever having the ball thrown on them.
the defensive line is
very thin and not very deep right now. A couple injuries, so that worries me, but.
I guess my mistake is every year I read all the preseason hype about Michigan, and so I always believe it's the year, and it's everything's fixed, and this year
Army's not a bad team, but they're not.
No, they're not a bad team. They only beat Rice by 7 points, but that's one game. I mean, they've won 10 games in a row.
They Oklahoma needed overtime to beat last year. So sick of hearing.
No, they won some. They pull off some upsets, but. I just thought when you lose three guys like Michigan's defense lost, there's no way that you're going to be the same defense. But
They aren't going to be the same defense. They just got to be serviceable.
Yeah. Well, with that new wide open offense.
Yeah.
They don't need that much defense.
Featuring Ronnie Bell. I mean, who didn't predict that? Fuck, man.
Oh, boy. I wasn't in the stadium. I went to the tailgate party.
Oh, there's booing. I mean, there's plenty of booing at halftime. I don't know. It was kind of a weird day.
Yeah, I don't know how high expectations are this year. I thought they were really, really high. I mean, like, win the Big Ten.
Oh, they are every year.
Well, come on. It can't be every year.
Oh, of course. Of course they're higher this year than I think it's been in his whole tenure there, than Harbaugh's whole tenure.
Well, I thought it was last year.
Last year?
Because they had those three great players on defense.
Yeah.
But, Michigan football is always exciting, always interesting. And Michigan State walloped Western Michigan, 51-17. And I got to tell you, that little back, that little freshman redshirt back.
Oh, yeah. Ezekiel, what's his name?
Ezekiel. Boy, I feel bad not.
The guy from U of D.
He looked good. I don't know if you watched the highlights. I'm disorganized.
I think
today.
Collins is his last name.
Yeah, it is Collins. You're right. I think you're right.
Is it Isaiah? It's some biblical name.
Ezekiel.
Elijah.
Elijah. It was Elijah.
Everybody that's yelling at their podcast.
He looked badass. He looked really good. And actually, the quarterback looked good, too. And he hasn't looked good in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. He played so bad last year, I completely lost confidence in
Lurky.
Him. Yeah, but he looked pretty good yesterday. So, I don't know. I'm always excited. When both teams are on a collision course, it's more exciting. When one team is way down and the other one's up, it's not as much fun.
Yeah.
This could be of course, it's in Ann Arbor this year. So, that'll be a
Michigan's a raise a pie, too. That's fun.
Yeah. I know. It's a lot of time to talk about the shitty performance against Army.
Good. And get their head
and their
out.
Crazy get offense.
Get their head out of their asses.
By the way, does anyone believe that Harbaugh has turned the offense over? That's the part of the hype this year. Is that, Harbaugh, he so wants to win. He's turned the offense over to this guy. He's got this wide open offense like everyone else now.
That seemed to be the very common thread on MGo blog.
Anybody
who believed he turned the offense over is full of it. Although some people point out because of that way that hand, how they kept handing it off to Charbonnet up the middle, and they kept doing it over and over and over, which is Harbaugh-esque. Someone did point out, the second overtime though they threw the ball three times, which I just wonder if the offensive coordinator is walking on eggshells around him. I mean, he's head coach; he has a say in what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So there's no way, though, that he has fully handed it over.
I don't think so. That's what the hype was, though.
Although I thought it was interesting in the post-game press conference, Harbaugh acts like, I don't know what the offense is doing. It's like, I can't really speak on the offense, but the defense today.
He never says anything.
I know.
The Hokies avenged Old Dominion.
Did they? All right.
They did.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
some really sarcastic.
They didn't cover, did they?
I don't even know what the final score was. There was just some very sarcastic texting going on with me and some other Hokie friends avenging that defeat. Like, who cares, exactly?
Did you see this email from Ray, this picture of the Michigan game afterwards when the players were in the stands? And he's really mad that one girl was looking at her phone. You can read what he wrote, because it's directed to Brandon.
Did you see?
Why is it directed to me?
Because you're a millennial.
Oh, really? Because current college kids are millennials? Current college kids are Gen Z.
Yeah, they are Gen Z.
So what the hell?
Point Brandon. Brandon won, Ray nothing.
You're the youngest one here.
Okay.
And Mark's the one that keeps track of how many phones are. You know,
I do. I will admit that, I do.
Did you see all the phones? No, it cracks me up. And I notice it now all the time, too. And the first thing I think of is, oh, my God, Mark would be outraged. Was the Meek Mill performance for Thursday Night Football? There were so many phones recording.
How did I miss that one?
Oh, my God. So many phones recording. I've never seen so many phones recording.
Get it. When it's going to be on TV, just go home and DVR it. Or better yet, look at YouTube tomorrow, because it'll be on YouTube.
How about just watching it and remembering it?
Well,
are you really going to watch the video that often?
No, you know what it is. Then they can't tweet it or... You know, Snapchat it.
And I guess no one else is going to tweet it, so there's no way to see it ever.
Yeah, but you
got to
prove that you were there, man.
Oh, boy. By the way,
it's all about my followers, so they know where I am.
They introduced him as social justice.
Great.
A proponent or something, and recording artist. And
who isn't a social justice proponent?
Most people
proponents of social justice.
I have to tell you, it was interesting watching. You know, the crowd was going crazy. Of course, it didn't look like the crowd that was in the stadium. I don't think those people were all going into the game. I could be way wrong, but guessing.
Was it at the stadium?
You know, I don't even know.
Or was it offsite?
I don't even know. I just heard that Meek Mill was coming up, and I was like, I've read a lot about Meek Mill. I don't know much about his music. And I don't think it was targeted at me. I'm not sure it was really targeted at most NFL fans, to be honest. It was probably targeted at the social justice world.
Well, if it was targeted at the social justice world, where was Kaepernick? Shouldn't he have been?
He still doesn't have a job!
Shouldn't he have been out there with him?
I'm so tired of
this. Well, the NFL won't touch it. Can you imagine if Antonio Brown knelt?
I kind of hope
honestly,
he does.
What would have happened?
I think that'd be fun.
Would a team have picked him up? I bet you
maybe
they
he was like a. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. With his stats,
I bet you they.
No.
Oh, I bet I don't know.
He's that good.
I don't know.
Yeah, they would. Well, they're playing the 49ers safety, Eric Reed. He's playing, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless he's hurt. But, yeah, he's definitely the starting safety for the Panthers.
If you've been waiting for the best time to get out of your lease early, your prayers may have been answered. Right now, the first and original podcast, our first and original podcast sponsor, Zott Ford and Holly, is pulling people ahead in their leases up to 6 months early with no penalties. You heard right. Zott Ford will get you out of your current lease up to 6 months early. Over miles, your vehicle hates you like Trudy's house hates her, or maybe you're just ready for a fresh, shining new whip. Regardless, Anthony, Gabara, Gary, Jessica, Dan, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County is standing by, ready to snatch you out of your old turdmobile and send you home in a lovely new Ford of your dreams. If Stacy could get Mark on the phone, she would put him in a fresh Ford today. Stacy, have you
No.
You have not called Stacy back. No. Okay. Go surf their massive inventory and spectacular deals.
I'm playing hard to get now.
DealsInAD.com. And Dr. Yaldo, of course, is our great sponsor. Does all of the LASIK surgery. And why is our podcast like getting state-of-the-art eye surgery from Dr. Yaldo? Because we're both number one in our respective categories.
Yes!
Yeah. Is it convenience? Because you can listen to us whenever you want, just like you get precision vision 24/7 without having to first reach for your glasses. Or put the contacts in, that too. Or is it because we both tell it like it is? We don't batter you with ads and promos like radio does, and Dr. Yaldo doesn't lure you in with promises of low-cost LASIK. There's a lot of noise about low-priced LASIK, but then you go there and find out what the real price is. Dr. Yaldo promises to beat any LASIK offer you get. For those 45-plus with reading issues, Dave says, I went for my one-year checkup after getting multifocal implants, and I have 20/15 vision both near and far better than perfect. Get the best, pay the least, evaluation is free. Call 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Front page story today about the Dan Gilbert project with Hudson's. And, you know.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Sounds a lot like LCA in a way.
Yeah. And how, you know, that hole in the ground's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are noticing that. And I guess in August, I think they said, and we're dropping plans for the sky deck at the Hudson site. And they're trying to find a hotel to occupy some of the space that had been designated as residential.
Huh.
And it's going to be a year late. And, you know, the city gave this guy a lot of money.
Yeah. Doesn't the headline basically say on a promise?
Yeah. Just like Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of go back to Dave Bing when Charlie had him on, and Charlie said, who runs the city? And Dave Bing said, 5 billionaires run the city. And Dave Bing wasn't shy about it. And these guys are all very important to the region. There's no question.
This is where it gets tricky, though, because I'm glad somebody's putting money into the city, and they're getting sweetheart deals. I almost don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with
either.
People that are allowing them to have the sweetheart deals.
Well,
but you got to have somebody rebuild this city.
But I don't understand why, you know, if you are, even if it's there's not many people who could get this kind of a deal from the city. We're saying, you know what, Dan Gilbert, you know what, Illich family, you are special. You are a part of it. You're a big part of the city's revival. But of course, you know, if you're telling us you can do this, we need some proof. Protection.
Well, yeah, we need proof. And then if you don't do what you say you're going to do, then you got to get something back in return, of which they had neither proof of financing. And
I know the
that's just what's bizarre about it.
It's really bizarre. And the else, and by the way, financing Dan Gilbert.
I know.
The billionaire. I know it's an expensive project, obviously, and you know these things are done a certain way. People don't just pay cash.
I mean, they're looking for a hotel person now, so I mean there seemed to be an issue with the financing of some sort.
Yeah, they don't have an anchor tenant. So what bank is going to finance a project that doesn't have an anchor tenant?
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, things have slowed down a little bit. So it's not such a...
What about all those watercolors of people walking around it?
No,
when's that going to happen?
And then, you know, on top of that, on Friday there was a story about how all these vendors who were typically around Comerica Park and around all the
awful
theaters. Yeah, how they're just getting thrown out.
Yeah.
That, no, we sell everything, and anybody who's taking away profit from us goes. And these people are getting really some BS reasons from the city as to, we're not gonna let you do that because of blah, 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 blah.
Well, one reason was there. It's in an unsafe area, even though it's the same location they had been in for 7 years. And now all of a sudden with a new building, it's unsafe.
It's about as safe as it could be. There's so many cops around there. Yeah. There's all these people going to events. Of course it's safe. I mean, plus, nothing's perfectly safe.
They went a 300. Well, but they had been there for 7 years.
Exactly.
Nothing has changed for the worse.
I think it's safer, if anything.
Yeah, that's the point. And there's also this arbitrary 300-foot distance from the venue, which, what's 300 feet? Like, what is that? Why 300 feet? But I thought the interesting thing was this one lady who had the hot dog cart, had the license since 2011, parked near Woodward, and she would renew it until 2016. They said, your license is not going to be renewed because it's within the 300 feet. Well, they never came out and measured it. And so she's kind of like, this doesn't seem right. I mean, you didn't measure to know it's 300 feet or not.
They're just not going to renew it.
Yeah.
Nobody understands going to.
And they're looking for an excuse as to do it, which...
Yeah,
the implication is the conspiracy that the LCA doesn't want vendors that close. They want people to buy food in their restaurant, their tenants in their building, and I get that. But at the same time, is it really taking that much money away?
I think they're making enough money on Little Caesars Arena, to allow a few people who've been out there doing it, just people hustling for a buck, trying to make a living. You know, why are you doing that to people? And by the way,
it's petty.
In the old deal at Joe Louis, the city got some of the concessions.
Oh, yeah.
They got some of the parking. They got rent. You know, they got all those things, and now they don't. So isn't there enough going to the Illich's pockets that didn't used to go in there that they can afford to have a few people out there hustling who really, in my opinion, add color to the whole experience? Those people out there, you know, yelling while they're selling peanuts or that's part of going to a ballpark. Or a stadium.
I know, it's so weird that you're not allowed to take anything in anymore. I was thinking about that going into Michigan Stadium. We're walking in, and my mom's with me, and she's got, you know what a clutch is, right? It's basically a giant wallet. And the guy's like, oh, you can't take that in. You got to take it back to your car. And she's like, what? He goes, if it doesn't fit in your pocket, it's got to go back to the car. So I took it and put it in my pocket and walked in. Which, how arbitrary is that?
I know.
It's just, so what if I have I'm going to make a pair of pants with a really big pocket and just stuff it with stuff. That's just ludicrous. And you know, you're not allowed to bring bags in or purses, which is just, even if it's under the guise of security, I just think it's really silly.
And it's really hard if,
it's kind of sexist actually, because if you're a woman,
for women,
women in their purses,
it's a real right, guys.
Yeah, they...
Or families, because Charlotte was with me.
Yeah, like, the purses can only be so big.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And if you haven't been to a game in a while, you know, and...
Well, the bitch of it is, if you park a long ways away and you finally get there, you don't want to have to throw your stuff in the garbage or hide it like ML Elric does behind some weeds.
I forgot about that.
You don't want to do that. I had a buddy, I went to a Wings game once, and we parked blocks away. And we finally got there, and he forgot that he had, it wasn't a knife, but it was a little tool that he had, like, you know, attached to his jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of taking it all the way back to the car, he just tossed it in the garbage. Yeah. And it also depends on which person you get, because I've been in lines where, you know, hey, all right, she's got a little bit of a oversized purse, go ahead, but then you run into that one stickler who's like,
one
nope.
Hard ass.
Yeah, so it all depends.
Have you noticed too how easy it is to have you been to a game lately? Did you go this past weekend?
I didn't go. No. I tailgated up a storm though.
It's amazing how easy
Joe Vetting was in town.
I know, I saw Joe.
Yeah, Joe and Margo and 13 family members.
Margo felt pretty bad. I said, look around. No one else is here. You're fine.
No, it was fun. They had a great time.
Yeah, Charlotte had a blast not talking to anybody.
Yeah, Charlotte was so shy. She's going to just blow Charlotte. Up one of these days. It's all going to come out once.
She already has. That's what Charlotte. I hate about it. It's like, you're not shy. She just kept going, I want to go to the game. She wanted to see the kickoff. I don't blame her.
She did.
Hardcore.
That is my daddy. It wasn't David.
Yeah.
Is that Charlotte or Sammy?
Charlotte. And I did see the picture that was posted on our Facebook page of Charlotte at the Charlotte and Daddy podcast. What, what a great picture.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, those Magoo shirts are great. I love my Mag. I love my Mag shirt.
She got home and played football in the backyard. I was like, what is
it? Did.
I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm playing football. The green team is up 1-0. I'm like, how are they beating Michigan 1-0? Because, you know, she likes Michigan State because I like Michigan.
Oh, really?
Total troll. Total troll.
<That's> troll. A born troll.
She wouldn't let me clap at the game. And I said, look around. You're surrounded by Michigan fans. They're all clapping. Go tell them all to stop clapping then.
Somebody pointed out last week, I think it was, when, let's see, was that the Middle Tennessee?
Yeah.
And the student section, and it was all white.
What?
There was no color in the student section.
Wait, I'm going to ask a dumb question. When you say color, do you mean skin or the outfits?
Skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
no
all
black
the
people.
Whites can hope for these
Wait
days.
Wait a sec. It
Who
like,
said that? Because they're full of shit.
I'm just talking about the picture that they showed, which is always, you know, hard-rooting Michigan students, and it was very white. Very, very white.
I got to tell you, go to the game and watch the scoreboard when they show the student section.
Well, the scoreboard, but that's Michigan-controlled, so they can pick out a little group.
It's a big, massive conspiracy.
Those are... Oh, what, no one ever thinks of things like that? Like Kid Rock playing everyday people?
I guess not. I don't know.
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
No, that's a stock piece of video footage from another game.
Yeah, they just looped it, which is pretty smart then. Pretty brilliant.
I know. I'll believe almost anything these days.
Oh, dumb. Who cares?
I don't care
what color they are. I wish they just stay in the damn game. The student section leaves like after the first quarter. It's half empty.
I think that the people actually, the person that posted it was just, it was a joke.
I think
they were just making fun of Michigan or a Spartan fan.
Where's the picture Ray sent with a girl on her phone? Did you break down the ethnicities of them?
Oh, good question. I didn't really look.
Although it's printed in black and white, so that's a little racist.
Let's see.
You're not going to have to judge ethnicity based on that. Look.
Let's see. There's really only like six students in the picture. It looks like there's one girl who's black.
Well, the girl on her phone is olive complexion.
I don't know what her race is.
That guy on the front, it looks Indian.
Football team.
The girl behind the football player is black. Those are white arms, though.
No problem on the football team, though. They got black people. No. Okay. So, speaking of black, there's this guy.
Where's this guy?
And how far in are we, Brandon?
About an hour 13.
Are we really? Okay.
Yep.
Then I'm going to, before we mention this guy, I thought they called him Shaq, the guy that listens to classic rock.
That's his name, yeah. No Life Shaq is
and
his name.
It's really funny because, you know, he doesn't think he's ever heard these songs. And they're classic songs like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Go!
And he just, it's funny just watching the world through a black dude who's never heard a song you've heard 5 million times that you probably love, but you've forgotten why you love it. And this guy's experiencing it for the first time.
Now, Tremont has been sampled in rap songs. Does he catch that?
He seems to know that he has some experience with this song, but he says he's never.
I'm black American. I'm proud of it.
I think he says he's never heard of Aerosmith before.
which is really funny. Walk this way. You should know that. I'm getting a little down on him, man.
Well, he doesn't know that version of Walk This Way, or he didn't know who those white guys were in the video.
Hey, a black guy. Ooh, fun.
But first, I just want to mention Luke Nwacki. If you need a financial plan, or you need help with your financial plan, or your finances, or your health care, or life insurance, anything like that, he can at least handle it, come up with a plan, or he can point you in the right direction. And you should have a financial plan if you're at a certain point in your life where you've got a career and you're moving forward and you're building a family. You need to have a plan. And if you're not good at that, which I never was, it's good to talk to someone else and get an opinion from outside, from an expert. And he's been very helpful to people. So call Luke, 248-663-4748. Be happy to talk with you. There's no expense involved in meeting with Luke and his team and having a consultation. And if you're considering college and a college fund, which really is not a bad idea, he can help you with the 529. A lot of tax benefits there, too. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and/or marketing names, product services, reference here. are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
It's always nice to really know your subject. I know that subject.
Call Luke 248-663-4748. Very engaging guy, too.
What does he do for the black people?
he's a big sports fan. Boy, he's a big Red Wings fan.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, if you need somebody to talk Red Wings with while you're getting your finances together, Luke's a good guy. Shaq is listening to Dream On. How old is Shaq?
He looks like he's in his late 20s.
Yeah.
By the way,
early
30s.
Also a bandwagon jumper. Kind of drives me nuts with the sports teams.
Shaq? No Life Shaq?
Yeah, look in his background. He's got a banner for what? The Cowboys, the Steelers.
In North Carolina. College basketball.
Oh, no, it's the Yankees. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's a Yankees, Steelers. Carolina basketball fan.
Yeah.
He's like LeBron.
But Shaq, is this an organic thing? I mean, he's getting like hundreds of thousands of views. I saw he had 1 million views for his first listen to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I feel like anything, it probably started organic, and maybe it's not so organic.
He's found his niche.
Yeah.
Are there sponsors for this? I'm sure he gets something for all these
great
views.
Great question.
Right?
Are there ads?
Well, I don't see. Well, yeah, of course there are ads based on just the views alone. So he's getting paid probably through YouTube.
I'm glad because I think he's really funny, and it's a great idea. I think it'd be funny to watch a white guy his age judge rap songs.
Oh, it's probably out there.
What's going on, like, man? It's your boy. It's your homie. It's your finish it. Hey, y'all, we got Aerosmith, man. Dream On. My boy Bill Simmons told me to react to this. And hey,
does he mean the Bill Simmons?
When he asked me to
probably.
React to it.
Really?
Because I would have never expected that a day in my life. But bro, we finna check out Aerosmith for the first time. Y'all know I can't go in completely blind, bro.
Okay.
I heard this is one of the best songs ever created, according to the fans. But hey, I looked it up. You said that was a rock band from Boston, Massachusetts. So, hey, that's pretty much all we know. I'm taking y'all word for it. First reaction to Aerosmith, man. Let's get it.
Confession. I'm so tired of this song.
Yeah.
Really tired of it. And I was thinking that while I'm watching him and listening.
You've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
In his Aerosmith van.
All right. Hold up.
Oh.
Where have I heard this song? I heard this beat, bro. Let me see if this the same song.
If he's an Eminem fan, he has.
It's just funny hearing it through his ears. Because I really sort of re-liked the song again. For the first time in a long time.
I heard this instrumental.
I love when he starts really jamming. He starts hitting the drums.
Oh!
What?
Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer.
He's digging it. He's bobbing his head. I love when he stares at the camera. Yeah?
Come on, Shaq.
He's gathering his thoughts.
He said, every time I look in the mirror, the lines on my face is getting clearer.
He pointed to his face.
That's right. He really takes the lyrics serious, too.
What? That's all he said.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
The past is gone.
You have to watch this guy.
Bruh.
What?
He put his headphones down. That's heavy.
He couldn't take it anymore.
I never thought about it like that.
What?
It's something about these rock songs, bro. It's something about these classic rock songs, bro. They make you think about life, bro.
Amen. I'm with you, Shaq.
Right after that line, he said, the past is gone. Bro, it's some with this rock stuff, bro.
I would love to know like what his go-to stuff is. Like, there's a lot of empty, vapid lyrics in a lot of rap music today, so maybe that's why these are so deep.
He hears the best songs. How do you search it? First time hearing Aerosmith Dream On?
Yeah, he's got a whole bunch of them. No Life Shaq. Remember we talked about the Rush one? He loved Rush.
Look, he's just getting off.
Loved Metallica.
Loves Metallica.
It's so funny, man. Just watching him is great. I realize this is a podcast, but
I know he does reactions to like comedy and video games and stuff too.
Comedy?
I feel like he lives in a under a mushroom.
Maybe he does. Just,
oh.
He is so deep. Bro,
what?
Y'all know I don't know mean to pause it, but I gotta say this.
Yeah.
I can see this song right here. I can actually see this song right here being a go-to song for a lot of people in a lot of difficult times right here. For some reason, I'm getting that feeling that a lot of people go to this song just to listen to the lyrics. I'm just getting that vibe from it, man.
Such a stupid remark.
Look how much he's getting off. Look at him. Does this guy just love anything?
You know, I haven't seen anything that he hates. He's got to mix one in that he just does not like.
Some people are just amazed by anything.
But wouldn't it make it a lot better if he was just like, no, I don't like that one at all.
It helps balances, but we need excitable people in the world. No.
I think he should go into the background. I think he should be ashamed of himself.
He's not really adding much insight.
No, he just had a lot to say about it.
Y'all can't tell me this don't make you think about life, bro.
It doesn't make me think about life. I will tell you that.
It's not a go-to song for me either.
No.
But I do like the song a lot better watching him get off like that.
I mean, it's a great song. I just doesn't make me think about life.
I don't think it's worth it.
I think if he said nothing and I just watched him jam.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's playing every instrument.
He's overwhelmed. He doesn't know what instrument.
Yeah, I think he's overwhelmed by the song.
Whoa!
600,000 views on this.
Okay, all right. You're not finna do me like that, though.
What?
What?
You're not finna do me like
what
that.
What's
hey,
he trying to do to you?
You put on my dancing shoes doing that. Now, hold up.
What?
Oh, no. Why they keep switching it up like that on me?
Is it that big of a switch up?
I don't know.
Oh.
I like the song a lot better than I did before I watched him. I really do. And I used to love this song. But I feel like I'm reliving it through Shaq's eyes.
You're born again.
Oh, God.
It should be born again, Shaq.
I never dreamt that this could happen.
Crazy face. He really is overwhelmed.
Is that him humming?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's tough.
Huh? It's like a cultural exchange program.
What y'all about to do now?
Huh? They're wrapping up the song.
Oh, boy, I thought they was finna hit me with a solo. That's tough.
After 8 minutes?
Oh, man. Man, I heard this song somewhere, bro. It's crazy.
Makes
where
it sound like that's
do.
A huge coincidence that he would have heard it before.
It's
only been played a billion times.
I've probably heard this song a million times on the radio.
Exactly.
Never knew who it was. Bro, that's crazy. That's crazy. Aerosmith, that's a good first impression, man. Hey, for all my Aerosmith fans, if they got more tracks y'all want me to react to, let me know, man. I strictly did this for my boy Bill, man.
Bill job,
Simmons,
Bill.
Man. Here you go, man. Let's get it.
Bill Simmons,
you
fun.
Take forever to say nothing.
pretty much.
Didn't really say anything.
No, he doesn't.
He never does, though.
Boho Rhapsody was kind of the same way, although yeah. he was really intrigued. And he, I have to admit,
that change-ups might have freaked him out, though, in that song.
Made me think a little bit. What's the first line about somebody murder? Or
I killed a man.
Killed a man, yes. And he's never heard someone sing like an angel saying they killed a man.
Okay. Now, that's a very astute point.
That was very
dead on there.
Amen. So, yeah, I got a real kick out of that. And then there was also the video I sent you, Brandon, of I did. You know, we didn't know this for the longest time, that Orson Welles and that, the French. You know, we kind of picked that up on our own, and it seems like it's sort of a thing.
Oh, it's a big thing, yeah. But same with his outtakes.
I know, but we were on those a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it seems like people are just rediscovering Orson Welles' crazy outtakes.
It happens every few years.
Ah, the French.
People realize how great he is.
But what Drew discovered, what Drew discovered was that there's a remix song.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a whole new tune. Yeah, the French.
One, two, take two. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
He's so bombed.
French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I hate the music, though. I like him singing it.
French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
They're running through auto tune, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wish they'd use one of the outtakes where he goes, I thought you can say something.
I was going to say, I hope this was just one take with Orson. I hope he didn't have to do an additional take because he hates doing additional
Nothing
takes.
Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Good. Could I have one more go, Orson, please? Sorry.
What?
Is this the gunk?
Just one more take of that, sir.
Why? I just did it right. Look, I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I take directions from one person under protest. But from two, I don't sit still. Who the hell are you, anyway? Well, why the hell are you asking me for another one?
I love it when he pours the water. Is that in this one?
Yeah, I think it is.
Jesus.
It's gathering.
What is a gonk? Do you mind telling me what that is?
No, a bang. Outside.
A bang from outside.
He repeats it. What a dick.
Gonk.
There it is. He's gathering his anger.
Can I see Mrs. Rogers?
Uh-oh. Mrs. Up. Rogers has been called in.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. You really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to... say July over the snow, isn't that the fun of it?
The fun of it.
If you make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so
isn't
nice.
You just paid for a fucking voiceover.
Hey, you can't take the director out of the director.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
He's watching a video. You don't need to watch a video. Just read it. Shut up.
Turn the TV off that he's watching.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas, when I said in July.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Yes, always.
Yes.
I'm always past that.
You are?
Yes. Well, that's about where I say in July.
Can you emphasize a bit in?
Uh-oh.
In July.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Ooh, heads up.
Sorry.
Doesn't like this idea.
There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I'll go down on you. It's just idiotic.
That sounds like a bet he wants to lose.
That's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July. Impossible. Meaningless.
I think all they were thinking about was that they didn't want to...
He isn't thinking.
Listen, can we just do one last...
Yeah?
And it was my fault. I said in July. If you can leave every July...
You didn't say it. He said it.
What's talking about that?
Every July?
Friend.
No, you don't really mean every July.
What's wrong with every July?
That's bad copy. It's in July. Of course it's every July. Too much directing around here.
Yeah, from you.
Norway. Fish fingers, Findus, Norway.
Crumb crisp
we know a
coating.
Certain fjord in Norway, near where the cod gather in great shoals. There, Jan Stengeland.
Jan Stengeland.
Fraction more on that shoals thing, because you roll it around very nicely.
Yeah, roll it around, and I have no more time. You don't know what I'm up against. Because it's full of things that are only correct.
He's doing nothing at this point in his life.
But
nothing.
They're tough on the ear, you see? This is a very wearying one. It's unpleasant to read.
Because of you.
Unrewarding.
I love the word wearying.
Because he does have some good lines in here.
Freeze the cod at sea, and then add a crumb crisp. Ooh, crumb crisp coating. that's tough, crumb crisp coating. I think, no, because of the way it's written, you need to break it up, because it's not as conversationally written. What?
Take crumb out.
Good.
He is right.
Here under protest is beef burgers.
What?
We know a little place in the American far west where Charlie Briggs chops up the finest prairie-fed beef and tastes. This is a lot of shit. You want one more?
No.
More on what beef?
You missed the first beef, actually, completely.
What do you mean, missed it?
You're emphasizing prairie-fed.
But you can't emphasize beef. That's like he's wanting me to emphasize in before July.
Yeah, weren't you
Come
listening?
On, fellas, you're losing your head. I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare.
You're doing a commercial read.
It's not Shakespeare either, asshole.
By far and away the best, and I know the reason.
The right reading for this is the one I'm giving it.
Then just do it.
At the moment.
I spent 20 times more for you people than any other commercial I've ever made. You are such pests. Now, what is it you want in your depths of your ignorance? What is it you want? Whatever it is you want, I can't deliver because I just don't see it.
That was absolutely fine. It really was.
You isn't worth it. No money is worth
looking. Oh, boy. Yikes.
What is a gonk?
Speaking of great quotes, did you read the Deadline Detroit article on Nolan Finley versus 9:10 a.m.?
Yeah, that was great.
It is full of great quotes.
I just wanted to mention that there's a documentary on the last movie that Orson Welles made.
Oh, yeah.
That I think he started in 71, and I'm not sure it was ever completed. But he worked on it for like 15 years. They reshot tons of stuff because Rich Little was in the original movie. And then for some reason, he wasn't available to finish it.
Oh, yeah, you can't finish it without
Rich
Little.
So they had to reshoot all his parts with someone else.
They did just finish it, though, didn't they?
I think they did finish it.
Other Side of the Wind?
It's really weird. I mean, the movie looks really weird. But the documentary was very funny because it just, all of his quirks are ever present. And, you know, this is the guy who did War of the Worlds.
Citizen Kane, yeah.
And Citizen Kane. And, I mean, his career was off to this incredible start. And it seems like somehow he just blew it all, didn't he, really?
Yeah, why?
Because he was always the great Orson Welles, but
just
he never...
Just because he was a pain in the ass?
I'm not sure what... Yeah, I think him being a pain in the ass is a huge part of it.
Was it his love of fudgesicles brought him down?
And he just... I think maybe he just happened to get two great projects at the right time in his career, and then
he wrote both of those, too, didn't he?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do something epic and huge, and, you know, he just kept missing. And then people stopped financing his movies.
What's more epic than Citizen Kane?
Well, that's the problem, you know, when you peak early.
Yeah.
God, look at Hootie and the Blowfish, man. So, yeah, Nolan Finley, you know, God, radio stories are always kind of funny and stupid, and this one,
I know, it's like being angry over reading an ad for peas.
First of all, the first thing I want to say about this, because Kevin Adell, I don't understand, is Nolan Finley just a really difficult person? I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it. Never heard of him being terribly difficult. He's conservative. I don't know why he was ever on this radio station. It's supposed to be the black voice of Detroit. Well, he's conservative.
He wants to, Adele in that article says he wanted to push the boundaries. He wanted Nolan to incite people.
I don't think that's the way you build it. But This is a sort of a part-time job for Nolan. Not an easy one. You know, start doing a two-hour radio show from 7 to 9 in the morning, which is also a weird time slot. 7 to 10. Why do all the people have such weird time slots at that station?
You got to fit them all in.
They go through the lineup, by the way. I was on something on cable, and their commercial came up, and it's like, so-and-so from 1 to 2, so-and-so from 2 to 2:30. And it was like, wait, there's like 9 people on every day.
Most people just do podcasts.
I don't know. But anyway, when he decided to let Nolan go, Kevin Adell, he didn't tell him, but he put out a press release.
Yeah.
And then, of course, social media picked it up. And, yeah, I didn't tell him because he was boring. And when I cut his pay, I told him he was boring. And when I cut his pay, he cried.
Yeah, that's one of the new quotes in there.
So anyway, Nolan kind of just took it. Mm-hmm. At first, and he wasn't going to really respond, I guess. But I think that was too much, the idea that he was bawling when he got pay cut. So he said, I certainly didn't cry. That's ridiculous. Kevin Adell and the truth have never been in the same room together.
His quote.
I've moved on. I don't understand his obsession with me. It's weird. Maybe he had a crush.
Hot.
He's a flat-out nut. He called me nearly every day to tell me how much he liked me and appreciated the credibility I was bringing to his pitiful station. It was creepy.
I like this next paragraph.
And then Finley, the opinion page editor at the News, noted the show was not his primary source of income, but rather a part-time gig that he never needed in the first place.
Whoa!
When pressed as to why someone in that position would cry over a pay cut, Adell said he didn't know, but that I'm too rich to lie.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. Neither Finley nor Adell would say how much Finley was being paid. Adell did, however, offer a detailed accounting of what he could do with his 100 listeners.
Yeah, because he did, I guess, produced records saying that he averaged 100 listeners a day for the month of August.
I don't know that you could produce records that detailed.
You can't. I
don't think you can. I've never heard of a number like that being produced.
Well, what
I don't think I would talk about it, by the way, if it was my radio station. There were 100 people listening to Morning Drive.
Well, previously, though, they drew thousands in that.
Thousands?
According to the article.
If you drew, what's that, 3,000, 5,000, maybe? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I remember because we talked, Charlie and I were talking to Kevin Adell about the podcast, and Charlie's podcast was on 9:10 a.m. for a short time. Yeah. There was something went afoul. And it wasn't anymore, and I'm not really privy to exactly what happened there. But let's see.
Oh,
for example,
the things you could do with the 100 listeners.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, a good morning show in Detroit will probably have 250,000 people listening in the course of a week, not a few thousand. And I remember asking how many people, what's their cum for the week, which is the total number of listeners. We talked about a lot of things. Anyway, I think he called someone in real quick, and they said 29,000. Like, that was a good number. That's not...
29,000?
Yeah. I mean, it is an AM station. Rebuilding an AM station...
I think 29,000 for that station would be really good.
It's okay.
I think it'd be a good cum.
For an AM, I mean, the WDFN, I don't know what their weekly cum is, but it's really hard to rebuild an AM station this day. I mean, I don't know what could be harder. Honestly, in radio, that's really tough. And that's what Kevin Adell's tried to do, is hire people who are in trouble or controversial, like Monica Conyers.
Todd Corser.
Sam Riddle. Todd Corser.
I was on there for a while.
Sam Riddle is certainly an entertaining guy. He probably could do a good job, I would think.
Monica, you mentioned Monica.
Monica Conyers. Karen Humis was there for a long time.
He's becoming so controversial himself. Why doesn't he do a show?
I don't know.
Why doesn't Kevin Adell do a show? That'd almost be perfect.
I don't know.
He should do a show on his station.
I know their religious network is a big, a big money
massive
maker.
Yeah.
And 9:10 a.m., you know,
the network. Yeah.
They've got billboards all over the place. I mean, is there a station that promotes more than 9:10 a.m.? There probably isn't.
No way.
So anyway, with his 100 listeners, here's what Kevin said he could do with his 100 listeners. 100 people can fit in my home.
Wait a sec. 100 people could fit in this home.
They could.
Wouldn't be comfortable, but we could fit in here.
I can fit 100 people in my office. Well, maybe more. It's huge.
I'm non-braggadocious.
And I have this big chair that goes up to the ceiling. It's like a big throne. It's like 20 feet high. You know what I'm saying?
What?
100 people, I'd rather turn off my transmitter, save on electricity, and wax the floors. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
It's his station.
I know.
Why is he doing that?
Finley will be replaced by Detroit radio personality Coco, who was previously with hip-hop station WGLB. Her show starts September 9th. Coco makes a lot more sense, I would think, for that audience.
You forgot the other great line in the article. Adele was talking about Nolan Finley's show, and he said there's always – oh, because he said he never had his pay cut in his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's always a first, my friend. Your show's boring. It's dry balls in a desert. Never heard that.
I think – I know.
Remember that euphemism for boring is dry balls.
I think you would just eliminate the show at that point. What is the point of cutting someone's pay? Yeah, if they're boring, they're boring.
Just only getting 100.
Cut the cord.
Yeah, if it's dry balls in a desert.
Maybe it's some guarantee. I don't think that would encourage a lot of people to want to be talent on his station. Just saying.
Yeah, but a lot of people want to be. That's what I mean. Why not just do a podcast? If you're
Karen was there for a long time.
Only doing an hour. Yeah.
A long time for 9:10. I mean, I think... You sell your own time when you're on as a regular?
No one ever does.
Well, that's...
It's hard.
That's like doing a podcast.
Well, I know people that do that on other stations, too, and it's...
I know, it
consumes
very,
a lot of their time and energy.
It's very hard. That's really one of our problems is
we've
fortunately had people come to us because we haven't been banging down doors, and it's hard to get advertisers if you're not doing that, but we've been pretty lucky. That doesn't mean we don't want you to go to the Drew Mike store and buy merchandise or go to the Amazon portal.
Or donate.
Yeah, or donate.
If you don't want to buy anything,
I know our seems like our donations have been pretty stagnant, too. Probably because we never talk about the donate bar.
Well, thank you for
everyone
that does donate. Because we do look. We do see the kind, because you can leave comments on there, too.
Yeah, all of you.
Very, very funny.
It's very nice.
Until they're not.
And there was the Jeffrey Epstein story, which I'm staying on.
Wow.
I asked the other day if, am I obsessed with this story? Because sometimes I feel like I am. I can't stop reading it. If I find out anything new, I want to know it. I want to understand it.
The story has the potential to be one of the biggest newsbreakers in history. I'm telling you. If it comes down to all these big, big names in a pedophile ring, the sky's the limit for this story.
And I still feel like... No one has really explained how he made all this money.
Well, that guy from Victoria's Secrets, Les Wexler, is that his name?
Yeah.
I think we're starting to peel the onion a bit and find out that perhaps, this pedophile ring was deeper than we thought. And maybe that's how he made his money, trafficking these young women. If you can't prove that he made his money on Wall Street, like he says, where else is all this money coming from?
Well, people are digging into that, and it doesn't seem to be how he said he made his money. First of all, he had this...
You know what I think would dig into it is the IRS.
Yeah.
I'm really
That's
surprised.
One way. I don't know if he's been audited.
Here.
I don't know how much he's been audited, if he's been audited.
Follow the money.
But it doesn't, It was implied that, he just invests money for billionaires. Well, no, there's just one billionaire.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing much trading. Nobody seems to know him from, somebody who's doing lots of trading or investing for billionaires, they're going to be trading like hell. And that doesn't seem to be the case with him. I don't know. It just seems that there's something missing here, and I'm waiting for somebody to find out what it is. But meanwhile,
he lived in this world where he just connected other people, and
he did connect people,
paid for access, and got access, and paid for control of media outlets.
The way he connects people is incredible to me because he keeps connecting them after he's gone to prison for being a pedophile. He still has these amazing contacts.
And today's example is. Probably the worst one, right?
Well, I would say it's the worst one for Bill Gates.
That we know of. Oh, yeah. I forgot about he's involved.
Because he's donating
money.
What
about Melinda?
She's
not involved.
First thing I noticed about this story is that there's no mention of Melinda and Bill Gates. All of a sudden, it's just Bill Gates. When it comes to having Jeffrey Epstein decide how to donate your money to philanthropy, it's just Bill Gates.
When it's anything bad, it's just
Bill.
Melinda doesn't do anything bad.
And So he's donating all this money to this media lab at NIT, which does all this scientific work. And Epstein seems to fashion himself as some scientist or some guy who is...
Yeah, as I said, the media lab does really good work. So much of that 60 Minutes devoted a lot of time in a story recently to all these crazy things they come up with.
And I don't doubt that, but...
They probably could have found their money from better sources.
You know, I bet if... Well, I bet... If, because this guy Epstein is so involved in philanthropy, and he seems to connect the dots, like he wants to get people to direct donations through him, you know, almost like, I don't think he gets a finder's fee, or maybe he does.
Oh, that's an interesting example. Yeah.
Because he seems to connect all these people back to the things that he believes in and he wants to sink money into, like this media lab at MIT. And in fact,
you know what? I bet you're right. That's probably where he makes a lot of the money from, you know, fundraising for other things.
Well, I have a hard time believing that he's so philanthropic.
No.
I mean, is this a
business?
With
other people's money?
Yeah.
He's taking credit for other people's donation.
I mean,
it's the Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein donation.
You know, as you read about
this. The Bill Melinda Gates / Jeffrey Epstein Foundation. Could you imagine?
Well, there's the other guy, you know, what happens is, okay, he's donating money to the MIT Media Lab, which is embarrassing, and the number's like, you know, $800,000, and then it turns out, oh, no, there's a lot more money from Jeffrey Epstein. They just call him anonymous. They all know who he is. They all know he's a pedophile. In fact, there's people who say that they feel uncomfortable with this. Someone resigned in 2016, 3 years ago, over this. He's referred to as Voldemort, yeah. Which is he who must not be named. I never knew that was Voldemort.
Well,
isn't that from
Harry Potter?
Oh, I didn't know what it was from.
Is he a guy without a nose?
Yeah, the bad guy.
Yeah.
So they all know this is creepy, creepy, creepy money. And not only that, he's not just willing to donate money. He wants to talk about what his money is doing. And so, you know, he comes in there and these people have to meet with him and they're really creeped out by it. And then, the guy that runs the lab has already resigned.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this article is posted, and it's like, bye, I'm done, see ya.
Well, he had one quote. He tried to defend it for a while. He said he had a statement on the Media Lab's website, MIT's Media Lab website, which he said, I never saw any evidence of the horrific acts that Epstein was accused of.
You know, why do people say this? This is like Harvey Weinstein
that's
all
right
over
up there
again.
With
everyone knows.
Right up there with Jeffrey Epstein maintained his innocence. I never saw anything.
This is amazing. You know, people that do all this business with Jeffrey Epstein, they never knew.
They never knew
that he was on trial for being a pedophile in Florida, that he went to prison.
It's really easy to not know when you don't want to know.
Well, they knew. It's very specific, and it's very easy to find.
It was never proven in a court of law, but I saw it with my own eyes.
There's emails where they're referring to him as anonymous or Voldemort. And, you know, this whole business of him coming in to talk about, you know, this is what I want my money to do. And these some of the females are really uptight about it. And then they say that, you know, nobody will ever be alone with Mr. Epstein. They're actually saying, too, though, that this man will be in here on this day. Keep so-and-so away from the meeting.
Yeah.
People who have pointed out that, hey, you know what? This is a creepy fucking guy. You know, shouldn't he be completely disengaged from this? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's a great point. And then he's bringing him in, so he just wants people to stay away from the meeting and not know.
Nice job! And, none of you!
And so, you know, he insists that it's called a VIP visit. They don't say Jeffrey Epstein's coming. They say a VIP visit. And that you don't have to worry. No one's going to be alone with him. He's going to have his two assistants with him. And his two assistants just happen to be these European models.
Oh, God.
Two beautiful young women.
That's what I was going to ask. How young?
Well, they didn't really say, but the one of the females that worked at the media lab said that they were very sympathetic and they were talking to these girls and they were hoping to find out if they needed any help, if they were somehow being, I don't know, really? Trafficked or I don't know what.
You think there's a lot of smart people at MIT?
Well, I think that, you know, I think she was sincere that she thought maybe these girls were somehow ensnared in something unsavory, not an unlikely thing if you see Jeffrey Epstein with two young, beautiful females. So, anyway, this thing is just so disturbing.
How about this section from the New Yorker, too, on Ito? That's the main guy. Of course, it's Ito, which everyone immediately thinks of Judge Ito. On Ito's calendar, which typically lists the full names of participants in the meetings, Epstein was only described by his initials. Just his initials. I mean, this guy kept great records, but, you know, that just goes to show once again that no one must know. Ito wrote to Epstein in 2014 soliciting cash infusion to fund a researcher. Epstein said, yeah, then forwarded the memo to another person on the staff. Make sure this gets accounted for as anonymous. Jeffrey Money needs to be anonymous. So they knew.
Oh, they knew. And also,
yeah, he knew specifically.
there was a donation that was rather large. And, of course, you know, hey, we got a donation. And this guy is angry because too many people got this email.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And
how much money did he donate overall? Do we know?
It sounds like as much as $7.5 million, and then he got Bill Gates to bring in $2 million, and he got other people. This Leon Black to bring in money. And Wait, Leon,
isn't that the name of the character from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Is it Leon Black? Isn't it
Leon Black. I bet if you type Leon Black into Google, he pops up.
Well, no? Leon Black is a big philanthropist, business person. I guess I don't really know much about him, but he tried to say that. I don't even really know what this Epstein guy's all about. It turns out that he and his sons started a business with Jeffrey Epstein. So I think he knew a little more about Jeffrey Epstein than he's letting on.
Yeah, Leon Black is the name of J.B. Smooth in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now I'm just picturing him donating money.
Then we have the other story about Jeffrey Epstein that Princess Beatrice... Her 18th birthday party, which, you know, it's like, it's this big, huge deal.
Yeah.
Princess, like.
Not so huge that the queen herself didn't show up. She blew it off. I'm washing my hair.
Because it's Fergie's daughter. Who cares about Fergie? Shit. And even though it's Andrew's daughter, too. But, I mean, honestly, this whole, you know, I went through this thing where. Everything about royalty just annoyed me to no end. Yeah. It's like, oh, why are we pretending these idiots matter? And then, you know, you realize that, oh, they're good for tourism, so who cares? They're starting to really annoy me again because I'm reading much more about them. And this whole Princess Beatrice, who gives a bleep about Princess Beatrice and her stupid 18th birthday party? Well... the reason we care now is because, first of all, they spent a bleep ton of money on it. I mean, this thing was so expensive. All these buses to take everyone everywhere and all this money and all this special food and all this catering and blah, 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 blah. Oh, Princess Beatrice is 18. She'll never matter to anyone. Mm. But they had this giant party. And the esteemed guest list of 400, of course, many whom are people that you have to invite. And then, you know, there's some... people that don't quite fit, like they're just people that are important to me, Prince Andrew.
Yes.
Like Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein. I mean, just throw them in for good measure. Why not?
You know, they stood out like a sore thumb at that party, too. There's probably one creepy table in the back corner with low light on it.
What?
They're planning to, you know, rape and abuse women.
But this is an invitation.
It's just stupid.
It's something I would never go to. As soon as I read about the shuttle buses, no way I'd ever be there.
Who wants to go?
No, who wants to go? That was my serious issue. She all thought is, what a boring, horrible event. Why would Jeffrey Epstein or Harvey Weinstein want to go?
Well, Epstein.
I mean, when they can force someone to have sex with them.
Epstein, I bet you, there's the money angle. He probably thought there's a lot of money there. I'm really buying into this whole, you know, he's a fundraiser for other people.
If you give us money, then we'll like give it to other people or something.
That's Epstein trying to raise money.
Harvey Weinstein and Prince Andrew, what would they have to do with each other besides
women
wanting a piece of ass?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I can't.
What a table of losers, too.
It's just so. Oh, man. And then, you know.
Ugly table.
Then when you get into, you know, not just the fact that he's connected to these institutions like MIT and Harvard. Oh, we're not giving the money back. The money's been spent. No, we don't have $6.5 million anywhere.
Butthole.
Although Harvard, it seems, may have received a lot more than the $6.5 million they claim.
I'm surprised. It's funny, too, how many people are connected back to Harvard through the Epstein thing.
Well,
almost everyone that's been named has been connected back to Harvard.
Because he raised money from other people, too, so... He's again, you know, I think they were on
something. No, but I mean the other people accused of doing things.
Oh,
isn't George Mitchell connected to Harvard? Didn't he teach it? I know that scientist was the one whose name was just thrown in.
George Mitchell.
Dead. And
it's so random.
Alan Dershowitz, he is connected. He teaches at Harvard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, has Alan Dershowitz suffered anything? Are people just so afraid of his litigious nature that they figure, oh, God, we can't do anything
to
him?
He's just an asshole. No one
He'll
wants
just
to
go after us.
Yeah. I'm surprised he doesn't go after us.
So these dinner parties, too, and these special this party for to celebrate Prince Andrew that was at his house that all these big names came to, he's still a pedophile hosting a party.
Yeah. Well.
And, it sounds like there were young girls around him all the time. And, as far as these events, where it's Chelsea Handler and Katie Couric, I'm like, they
George Stephanopoulos.
They so know who he is. And Woody Allen.
Oh, Woody Allen.
Very interesting.
Some annoying comments this weekend about Me Too.
Woody Allen?
Yeah.
He feels like he's a champion of the Me Too movement.
Yeah. Because he said all the right things you're supposed to say about Me Too. And he's like, look at all these women that have worked with me. Nobody has had a problem working with me. It's like. Yeah, you're right.
Too bad your wife's daughter had a problem with you taking nude pictures of her when she was 15.
And your own daughter. And it's just...
What a, unrepentant.
Total asshole.
And
Polanski, Roman Polanski, another guy in the same ilk, got an award this week.
Yeah, I saw that. Although he couldn't attend because he might be extradited to the U.S. to go to jail.
You might think your life is a little bit of a problem when you can't attend an award ceremony because you're afraid of getting arrested and shipped off.
His film finished second behind The Joker.
Yeah. I saw an extended trailer of The Joker, too. It looks pretty damn good. It'll be a letdown.
How far are we, Brandon?
156.
Ooh, do we have time to talk about Tess Holliday?
Yeah, we can mention her
here.
Modeling expedition.
Yeah, here's the
story. She wore this lovely dress, and I really pretty much listened to the audience as she wore... And this is just, I can't think of a worse dress for her to wear,
it looks
or
terrible.
Probably for anyone to wear. But the crowd was going crazy, just whooping and hollering because this really plus size.
Were they scared that monster was going to eat them?
That's maybe.
Don't wear that outfit again.
The creative ensemble features a daring cut across the chest.
This is my point. Is it
a big one?
Is that outfit really that daring? Because you're not allowed to make fun of her.
No, I guess
no
not.
One's allowed to poke fun that, maybe she shouldn't be on the catwalk or maybe her lifestyle's not healthy or maybe you just don't like the way a woman looks when she's that large.
Is she trying to gain weight? She looks heavier and heavier to me
medically
all the time.
Speaking, for your height, your weight puts you in what we call the disgusting range.
She looks to me like
that
she could be. Could she be 500 pounds? I'm not joking.
Hey, you're not allowed to make fun of her. You're not allowed to talk about it.
Not making fun of her.
How daring. It's really daring to do something when people are not allowed to make fun of it.
Is Bill Maher getting
She's been working out, by the way, she says.
Oh, good. Okay.
She says she's been driving 2 hours three times a week to go work out with somebody who she plugs.
Why would she drive 2 hours?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't she drive 15 minutes and work out longer?
I don't know. Or ride your bike then and cut your workout time.
2 hours? That's ridiculous. That's so stupid. I can't even believe it.
Well, she probably does it for free.
So Bill Maher said on Politically Correct or Incorrect that...
real time.
That whatever it's called, that he believes fat shaming needs to make a comeback because this whole business of body image and saying any body image is okay is not a great idea because America is accepting the business of not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that's why all people have weight issues. People have weight issues for a lot of reasons, but to just say, hey, that's beautiful.
That's the problem. See, I don't know. And body shaming is.
We love you for
tricky.
Being that, and we don't want you to lose weight, and we don't want to talk about losing weight.
This country's so overweight. This country's very unhealthy.
But he points
I'm one
out
of them.
He points out the outrage at gun violence, for example, and he puts out the numbers. But then he says obesity is killing. I mean, hundreds times more people.
He said body. The body image is it the body image movement. Or the positive body image movement or whatever is the NRA of mayonnaise.
Right. But, he talks about how this obesity
issue. I think you add mayonnaise to any phrase like that. It's going to be funny.
Yeah, it did kind of work.
It's what's messing up a lot of the insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And you have pre-existing conditions because you're obese. You've brought that upon yourself at times. and just, you know, the
well, there's a million problems related to it. And
well, people don't like smokers either. I mean, that's because it's a public
But we've shamed issue. Smokers.
No, smokers have been shamed to no end. And honestly, it doesn't really bother me because I know, you know, I should quit. And every time I see one of those awful mentions or commercials or, you know, I feel bad. And I think
that's how
you're supposed to feel, though.
That's how I feel about fat shaming.
Yeah. I mean, if you see something on, you know, if you're this percent overweight, then it means this. I mean, don't you hate that when you see it? Yeah. It comes up, you know, it doesn't really come up that much, but smoking, I'm at any time. And I do feel shitty and it makes me want to stop. It doesn't, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. And the more difficult they make it to smoke, not that smoking and eating are the same thing. I don't mean that at all. But it's generally a good thing because it forces you to smoke less, or you can't smoke here, there. So maybe you'll smoke less, or, you know, and I never thought vaping was a great idea either. But I don't object to people, you know, wanting, but not everyone is going to quit smoking. Not everyone is going to eat healthy.
Yeah.
But is there anything wrong? I mean, this whole idea that you can't ever say something about someone, unless it's Trump, of course. If it's Trump, you can make fun of his weight and about his physical and all that.
I'm just glad.
I thought that was really funny that the PC world that so despises Trump will make fun of his size.
That's right.
I thought one thing Bill Maher said that was just amazing to me because I saw the same thing. He was saying he looked at the moon landing and they were showing the crowd of Americans watching it. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, my God, in 1969, this crowd looks so thin. And I don't think there's really much doubt about it.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising.
Like he exercises so much.
He does. Well, he's got that finite amount of energy.
Well, it's the energy bar theory.
Excuse me.
I thought that was funny.
Excuse me.
You know, the best thing, or the most apparent it was to me recently, though, was being in England and literally walking around going, ooh, something looks weird here. And it was like, I know I'm not at home. I don't know what it is. And the first thing I noticed was, every guy's hair was cut really short.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, that is everyone. And then I realized it's not just that. Everyone's thin.
Everyone is thin.
Yeah, they're walking. Well, it's in, you know, London. So, yeah, they are probably a lot more active people. But it just seems like if you see a crowd of Brits, they're going to look different.
Is their diet that much healthier?
I don't know. Really? I just don't know. You know, honestly,
Bangers and mash?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm in between sizes.
Is it possible that America is like the Roman Empire? We've just become such gluttons that we're
about to lose our world standing. Stick by my theory. Nothing has predicted the future of this world better than the end of WALL-E, where they're all just floating in space and everyone's in their own fat chair floating around.
looking at screens.
Looking at screens.
I know you've probably never seen it because it's a kid's movie, but that's... They have to leave Earth because they totally trash it with like these giant Costco type buildings, yeah. And so now they're just floating around in space and they're personalized. Did you see the picture? There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but I watch it kind of like I watch, you know, you watch The Matrix, and I'm like, well, I don't care if it's not reality. It seems fine to me. I don't want to know the reality in The Matrix. Like way worse than what people thought was reality, and that's kind of how I feel about that. It's like, well, that looks fine. Look at them floating around. That just looks just. Okay, that's what's the problem?
Funny. Yeah. That's awesome. Get us out of here, Brandon.
You got your screen, you got your TV. What else do you need?
Oh, God.
You need to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
I felt like I was in front of a screen all weekend.
Yeah.
I was watching, even late at night, I was watching the ID channel. They had this
amazing
story. I know. Well, I've almost watched everything in true crime history, so I have to take a break for a while, if nothing else. I saw this story about this soap opera star named Tom. Oh God, was it Grease?
Is he handsome?
Very handsome.
Oh.
He played Philip Chancellor III on The Young and the Restless, which is really funny because I used to watch it in high school. I was like, wait, there's a Philip Chancellor III? I remember the second one was born. There's a third and a fourth.
Tom Beards?
Beards, that's it. And he was, you know, big star in the show, and then. In, I think it was 89, he had a brother who was just wayward, like killed animals and stuff as a kid, and he knew this kid was really troubled. And then he came out to live, come live with me, I'll get him a job at the TV station, and then he refused to go to work. He said, I'm not working there, fuck you. Then one day he couldn't get in the bathroom, so he peed on the front door. This guy was a major asshole. He also threatened to kill people. I mean, he was crazy. So then he goes home, kills his mom with a baseball bat, takes off, and says, calls 911 and says, "Hey, this is Tom Beards, his brother, and I just killed my mom, and I raped my brother."
What?
Because Tom Beards was gay.
Yeah.
I raped my brother. I raped my brother Troy, the one that killed the mom.
He also likes having sex with his brother? I mean, just because you're gay?
No. He was saying his brother boo-fooed him.
I know.
I know. It's just weird. It's
so
crazy.
He's in the light and he sticks something in his own butt.
Anyway, Tom Beards is now, he's forgiven him and he's gay and he's out and he's married and he's a painter and he's very happy.
Cool.
So there you go.
All's well that ends
happy
well.
Ending.
Dweller Inc.
It's happening on the Gay Channel.
I think you see it has stuff on it. Yeah. And who would have thought, huh?
Lester Hayes had more sticky stuff on him than that.
The best of Pat Summerall and John Madden's gay male orgy competition.
Here he is right here. Nickname's Meat.
Nickname ought to be Lot of Meat. Here's the unit that's done the magic.
21 years of the world's biggest homos doing the gayest stuff.
See that left hand in there? And then the right hand in there. Oh, he got a double dipper on that one.
Yes, he did.
He just kind of lopped it.
Including the hosts themselves.
You ready, John?
You could kind of feel that one coming right there.
Next comes the shave and then dinner.
Plus, you'll get all the finest performances by the most valuable homos past.
Looks like Grant let that kind of get away from him, didn't he?
On his chin or on his
head? No, on his head.
Roger looked like he's tossed before.
Revisit some of the unsung homos.
The sure-handed one.
Here he is right here. Nickname's Meat.
Nickname ought to be Lot of Meat.
And hear all the biggest moments in the history of the gay male orgy competition.
And there is a hole right there. And whoop.
A couple of pretty good shots.
Plus the clutch performances that have made gay-per-view so exciting.
There's no room in there.
I mean, you can get on a guy, but when you get on a guy and you knock him out of the hole, that makes that hole wide.
Knock him into your own guy and knock him back.
Revealing interviews with the gay participants.
You did come through the manhole.
Pat Summerall may be retiring, but his work with John Madden on Gay Per View lives on forever.
Pat, did you ever think you would see one of these things on a football field?
I thought it was a new golf club.
Order the best of Pat Summerall and John Madden's gay male orgy competition today.
Well, when you're going to throw a guy a bone, throw him two bones in a row.
And homo out to your heart's content.
Last week, I thought that he was tight, and when he's relaxed, I think he's going to open up.
Call 1-800-HEY-CUTIE.
We've had one of those things fly in our booth.
Hit me.